Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
And then thank you for making us America's most watched cable news network.
Let's take a caller from California. Please go ahead with your question.
Wolf Blitzer, pleasure to speak with you. Is it a fact that if we released this top secret information, we'd have to release the information about Don and Mike not being on in New York? Is that a fact?
I think we have a weird caller, but that's all right. Let's talk a little bit about Zacharias Moussaoui.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Stay tuned for your chance to win big money by naming the celebrity first, only on the Don and Mike Show.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Stop the run.
Gentlemen,
I'm not a little kid, I'm Lisa.
Fantastical.
And I know, I'm amazing.
Thank you.
But in the course of battle, peace-loving Charlie ended up a casualty. He lost a finger to a sharp set of teeth. Charlie had to leave the group and recuperate by herself.
Thank you.
They're wearing Cuban heels and cowboy hats and broadcasting from a stationery store.
Yeah.
It's Fox Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Okay, thank you, Rob.
Stationery store.
Don and Mike Show. New episode on this Monday. July 29ers.
Right.
Phone number from anywhere in America, 877 365-3636, Washington, D.C., on WJFK, 202-432-1067, and Philly on WYSP, 555-1212.
We'll fix that when we get up there tonight.
Still working on that number. Sodomized today.
Just I missed you.
Horribly sodomized.
A long weekend.
With a pitchfork.
But very quick.
Really?
It was quick and bloody and quick.
Much like in the Norman Rockwell painting American Gothic, where the guy standing there with a pitchfork,
But he didn't use the business end though.
No, I
you know, which is really that would have caused an incredible injury to you.
He used the wooden handle.
He used the stick end, you know, which you could find on an axe.
The sodomizer. All of this, so that I will announce his name. Okay, Buzz.
Thank you.
There you go, Buzz.
Hi,
Buzz.
Hi, Mike.
Buzz.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Mike. Buzzy. Burbank. Sodomizer. Give me Blee.
Oh, man.
Okay, big show, big weekend to talk about. Christ, we got a lot of weekend stuff.
Yes, indeedy do.
That might be the whole show. Today is just the weekend.
Really?
The weekend. The weekend for me. Oh, and yes, this thing with this little rag newspaper continues.
No.
Yeah, there's more writing. I got a message on Friday from Lisa that he had called and he had a deadline. It was kind of, I got the impression that was a little tricky move too.
Yeah,
you know.
We'll get into this about the douchebag who's running for Congress.
Mm-hmm.
I won't bore you with it now. I'll bore you with it later.
Okay.
But the essence of this is the last line in the guy's story about Don and Mike strike back. That's the headline about us and the guy with the...
So he's taking our advice about making it about the candidate.
I see.
He's making it about us.
Let me see. Toward the end of the show, O'Mara told Newman, the reporter we talked to Friday, to call anytime he had a question. Quote, give us a call. We'll answer any question you have. Neither Geronimo or O'Mara returned calls to the Potomac News on Friday afternoon.
Because he called at what, like 4:30?
4:45.
4:45
on the Friday afternoon.
He said he had a 5 o'clock deadline.
Yeah. Listen,
what a dick.
Daniel Drew is the writer that we'll be dealing with on today's show.
Good.
The deal is, if you want to get a quote from someone, if that person works from 11 a.m. till 3 p.m., and if that person or people have already announced that they'll be leaving their job, leaving the building immediately,
right,
to go as Mike and I were going to go on Friday,
right,
to play golf.
Yep,
it's highly unfair to call on a Friday at 4:45.
Sure is.
And then have the balls to write it in the, what essence is a grocery store newspaper.
Yeah. He was a scumbucket. I mean, I knew it. I knew it from talking to him.
No, this is a different guy.
Oh, it's a different guy.
It's a new guy that we're going to take.
A new guy.
A new guy.
Bad print guy.
Who wrote the
weasel bastard.
But anyway, we'll get to that.
All
because
right.
I want to start with happy stuff today.
Oh, good.
Yay. Happy, happy, joy. Happy, happy, joy.
Jolly stuff.
Happy stuff. Although I'm still pissed at somebody else in the print. You know that douchebag Bob Levy writes to the Washington Post today thanking all the people who contributed to his send a kid to camp thing, and they got like $400,000. I gave $1,000.
Yep.
Right? $1,000 four times what Bob Levy himself donated, and yet I don't get my name in the paper.
You don't do it for the publicity, Don?
No, I don't, Mike. But, but in this case, I wanted it.
You do it for the kids.
You'd think you'd mention it.
In this case, I wanted it.
I know you.
Because it was personal between me and Levy.
I know, but $1,000 isn't going to make the hate go away.
As he, he refers to himself constantly now in his column, Levy.
Levy.
Yeah.
Patsy, that is even more arrogant than referring to yourself in third person with both names.
Patsy doesn't need Levy's judgment about right and wrong.
He's got every arrogant little stylistic BS move that print guy can have.
Listen, Mike and I, for the first time ever on Friday, we worked together almost 18 years. Golf has been a big part of Mike's life.
Yeah.
Even before we started working together, I have just picked the game up, and we finally, for the first time on Friday, went out, and played golf together.
I said to you as we were getting out of the car, I said, this is something, this is the day that I never thought would happen, that I'm getting out of the car, going to your golf course to play golf with you. I didn't think that day, and man, what a media circus. Between the helicopters,
the
camera trucks.
No, there was one kid driving a cart around. The kid who told us that we were on the wrong course.
We picked the optimal conditions to play. I mean, it was a rainy, kind of overcast Friday. We didn't get one drop of rain on us.
Good.
But the golf course was kind of empty.
It was very empty.
And it was, it was good that there wasn't anybody out there. I was happy about that.
I was glad as well. And I have never been as nervous doing anything remotely athletically related as I was to playing golf with you.
Right.
I was super intimidated, but when I got up to hit the first tee shot.
But as I told you on the golf course, you have the right attitude. And I think, back when you, I think you started to try to play the game and went to a range and got really angry and said,
yeah,
F it. And you have the right attitude for, I was talking to somebody over the weekend that says, when you're a beginner, it takes like 5 years to really even get to the, to where it's, where it's consistent. And if you stay positive on it and you don't get down on yourself, and I know you were a little discouraged a couple of times, but I didn't get the impression that you were all that nervous, I mean,
I was hiding it from you.
I was trying not to be, Johnny A-hole out there and say,
we're not.
Hey, you're doing this or you're doing that, because I don't think that's real productive when you go out and play with a beginner.
The one time you told me,
right,
your stance is too wide.
Yeah, then you nailed it.
Put your legs together.
I love that. That's the greatest thing.
Boom.
That is nice. And, you take it, doesn't matter how good a player you are, you take advice from different people. I think it was Arnold Palmer said, he'd take it from the guy that was raking the bunker, anybody can look at the swing and see something. And
a couple
of times I told him things, and he nailed it.
You've been playing on golf courses for 20 years. You're at 8 handicap.
Yeah.
I've been playing for about 2 months.
Right.
How bad am I?
You are a beginner. You are as bad as any beginner will be. I mean, you are the difference between you and a lot of beginners I've seen is and will be. You're going to find this when you play. When you make contact, you nail it. You get that. You get that ball. You go right to left with it, and boom. I mean, that ball goes, and that's going to be. I think what's going to make the game fun for you is the fact that you hit it a long way when you hit it. When you hit it, I mean, but you play like somebody who's just picked up the game. It's hard. I've always told you that. You used to come in here and you'd do these riffs where
you say golf is so easy.
So easy. Anybody can play golf.
Like putt-putt.
It's the hardest thing to do. I mean, it's very, very difficult to do on a consistent basis. But you seem to have the right attitude and that you're not going to get down on yourself. And if you, and the fact that you like to practice, and you said you like to go out to the range and
yeah,
give it. I just hope, what I said to you is that it's going to be fun to play with you every once in a while and just see how you're doing.
All right, so right now, on a scale of 1 to 10,
mm-hmm,
what am I? Be brutally honest.
10.
No, come on.
Is 10 being the worst?
No, 10 is, 10 is the best.
Yeah, you'd be about a 1.
About a 4. I'm not even a 2.
No, not yet, because you you'd be like a 1.8, because when you get to a 2, there's certain ones that go out there, and not only can they not hit the ball, when they hit the ball doesn't go anywhere.
All right.
When you hit the ball goes somewhere. And you know what? No, yeah, I give you about a 3.5, 4. Because when you get...
Hold on. You just go from a 1 to a 3.5.
Well, it's the whiffing. That's the only part. That's the only part that disturbs me.
The whiffing.
That would be the only part of the game.
Because you're watching me.
Yeah, and then when we had the cart girl out there,
oh, I made the beer girl.
He was so right about it. He said, "I can't when the beer girl with."
Beer girl makes you nervous.
She came by.
When the beer girl comes by, I can't hit the ball. And that's when he went. And as soon as he looked over and said, "Move along." And as soon as she moved, I mean, he didn't only hit it. He nailed it.
Very nervous with people watching.
But if you like it and you get the way you do about certain things, I think you're gonna get better very quickly.
You saw potential? Did you see potential?
Yeah. As far as his distance is concerned, I saw potential.
Good.
And I mean, he's hitting the ball with a swing without any even kind of wrist cock right now. So, I mean, as soon as he...
wrist cock. He said wrist cock.
But he also hit a chip on the very first hole we played. He hit a chip that was not Petro. He hit a chip that was...
out of the sand.
He didn't even... No, you were in the downslope of the grass right above the bunker and hit a chip that, you know, I don't even know if you knew how good that was.
It was luck.
But it was, you know, it was fun. You love it. And the thing is...
we had a good time.
We did have a good time. We had lots of laughs. We did a lot of talking, which we probably needed to do. I know I needed to do that. And with the, you know, everything we've been dealing with, we needed to do that. And it was a lot of fun. And, you know, that golf course, I got to tell you something. I don't think, because you're a beginner, you don't know how difficult a place is that you play at. That is really a difficult golf course. That has got, that's got like little narrow areas to land it on and stuff like that. And
would you suggest a beginner learn on a difficult course or an easy course?
Yeah, a difficult course, absolutely.
Absolutely. All I know is that just about everybody that I spoke to before we played golf was waiting to hear what would happen
right
afterwards. And I felt like it was disappointing people this weekend that said, well, hey, you go out and play golf with Mike?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, I'm ready. Tell me what happened. What happened? And I said, we had a great time.
Yeah.
I said, no. Come on. Tell me the stuff. Tell me the stuff I'm going to hear on the radio.
Talking about everything we needed to talk about. It was terrific.
There's nothing bad to tell.
Right.
Had a good time.
It was a very, very good time.
Mike offered me a lot of help.
Yep.
And we got a little drunk.
Well, the time you play, for your ability level, you know, in the end of the day, when it's not crazy out there and stuff like that, you say that's when you like to play. You know, when the course is a little open, you're doing all the right things, and that's when, you know, I mean, there are all these things that you can do on a golf course to make it more of a pleasant experience out there. And, you know, I met your guy that's teaching you out there.
Yeah,
Matt. Yeah, it's a beautiful place. I mean, it was just, we had a great time. It was really, a good time was had by all. And, you know, the thing is, you didn't get hung up about the fact that I've been playing for 25 years, and I didn't get hung up about the fact that you were a beginner, because, I mean, we both did our own thing out there, and it was fun. You got a little discouraged at one point, you know, and I was like, you know, it's tough, but in that, you know, the rough is 8 feet high.
When Mike hits the ball in one shot, there was one hole where I think Mike got on the green in the first, on the very first shot, and my score on that hole was 11. Because, I count the whiffs.
Yeah, right.
And I count when I was in the high grass, when I would hit it and it would go 1 inch.
Right,
and
right.
Hit it again, the rough, and it would go 1 inch.
The guy told me you'd had some kind of amateur tournament out there the week before.
Yeah, we had.
This huge statewide tournament.
Right.
So they grew the rough up to the, and they hadn't brought it back yet because of the rain that they got. So it was
very bushy.
But it was fun. And then we were both, you know, the only thing I would have said, the beer girl could have come by one more time. That would have been the perfect round of golf.
Well, we took care of that after.
After the round. Afterwards, it was a good time. Was had by, we got to hate the people that you hate out there, you know, the type of people that are there, and then, you know, the people that are cool. And, you know, there was we didn't see a lot of people out there.
Yeah, but we
your starter's kind of a
kind of a dick.
Right.
Like this. We ran into Mike and I have a talent from God that even if we run into in a given situation five or six people, we can find a reason between the two of us
to hate
half of those people.
Absolutely. Very easy. Yes, Rob is applauding.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And none of them really deserved our hate.
Not at all.
Our scorn.
Not at all. But it's fun to hate them. It's like, you know, a guy will get out of his car and, all right, here's the first guy we saw. All right. First guy we see is, I followed Donna, who dropped the clubs off, and there's this guy. He's a member of the big man's club.
I bet he's fatter than us.
Got bigger gut, you know, than like times two.
Wow.
And he's walking by. He's just a big guy. And he's looking. You know the kind of old guy, like 50-something, that just stares at you? And he's staring at both of us the whole time. And I said, well, there's our threesome right there. You know, this guy is like...
First thing I said, we got out of the car.
I was like, dick.
I said, what a prick.
The guy had done nothing.
He said nothing.
Right, but he stared at us, and he's a prick.
He had done nothing. Anyway,
total prick.
I thank you, and I look forward to playing with you again.
Absolutely.
And I never thought I'd say that on the air, but I'd love to keep playing golf with you.
That's fun. I like that. Great. I like going out there and I like playing there.
Now, my kid and I went to see the Austin Powers movie.
Yeah.
And
there's so many mixed reviews, people that went to see that over the weekend.
I want to tell you something. I have not laughed out loud.
Oh, really?
At a movie since Something About Mary.
Wow.
I am not going to ruin
Good.
This movie for you and for anybody else who didn't see it, but I'm going to tell you that your window to see the movie before I start talking about it
right,
is going to be real small.
I'm going to go see it in Philadelphia. Rob, have you seen it?
No, let's go.
All right, yeah. Rob and I will go see it in Philadelphia. Right. Maybe even tonight.
Let me just say, all I want to say is, if you are not on your ass laughing in the first 5 minutes,
okay,
there is something wrong with you.
I got a rave from a guy yesterday I talked to.
Loved it.
And then when people start talking about plot, they fall right into reviewing thing where I don't care about
plot. No. There is no plot.
Here's what I heard about it. And you tell me if this sounds accurate. It's like a lot of great Saturday Night Live sketches put together. That's what it is.
No. There's a continuity to the whole movie. It starts off, continuity. It starts off, the first 15 minutes are like, oh, God, wow, Jesus. Then it's got a slow 10 minutes.
Right.
And then from then on,
funny,
throughout the whole movie, I want so much to tell you all the great stuff in this Austin Powers
movie. Bob, what do you say? If we get up to Philly tonight, we go see it?
Yeah, I'll do that.
All right, good.
You won't be disappointed by Fat Bastard.
I haven't been anxious to see a movie in a long time.
Like you won't be disappointed by Dr. Evil. You won't be disappointed by Mini-Me. You won't be disappointed by Goldmember.
Good.
You won't be disappointed by Michael Caine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I'm going to say.
Will I be disappointed by Fred Savage?
No.
Okay. All right, great.
No.
All right, fantastic.
No, you won't.
I overheard the stupidest conversation Saturday night about the Austin Powers movie. One guy said to another, yeah, it's not very good. And the other guy said, well, why is that? And he said, well, the problem is it's based on a true story.
There's an idiot.
What? This movie.
You see, you hear that before or after 9:30, Buzz?
Before 9:30.
Okay.
I'm telling you. Really.
How's Marcia doing?
She's well, thank you.
Okay.
One of those movies, I rarely laugh out loud.
Right.
Rarely laugh out loud. The jokes are juvenile.
Right.
They're gross.
Sure, that's what it's all about.
They're bottom feeders, but they are goddamn funny.
Good.
And there are smaller jokes within the bigger jokes.
Good. Well, that's great. It's about time. I've been waiting for a good comedy.
Can I just tell you one small thing that won't ruin it for you?
Yeah, go ahead.
Just an example.
Okay.
Mike Myers does a lot of that in this movie again, where you see people, where you see their shadows.
Right.
Yeah. Now, I'm not going to tell you all of them.
Right.
They're some of the funniest parts of the movie.
Right.
But let me just say that at one point, Austin Powers has to take a leak, and you see his shadow.
Right.
I won't even tell you why he has to take a leak and why the stream must continue. But while he's doing this, out of nowhere, all of a sudden he's given a plate of asparagus. And right on the top there's a big sign that says, asparagus. And as he is going number one, he starts eating the asparagus. And then the guy who can't see what's really happening goes, do you smell something?
I like that. That's good.
That's all I'm going to tell you.
Sure, a little asparagus makes your pee smell. That's great.
I don't want to ruin it for you.
Okay, good, good.
But the first 10 minutes are killer.
Great.
Killer.
Fantastic.
The last 10 minutes are killer. This movie's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
This movie is so goddamn funny.
Mm-hmm.
So goddamn funny. All weekend long, my kid and I have just been going back and forth remembering the stuff.
So what do you say to the reviewers that were giving it those lukewarm...
F you. You don't know funny.
Right.
You don't know funny.
Right.
If you don't think fat bastard taking a crap is funny,
don't. Now you're starting to ruin it.
Then you don't know fart.
God, a guy was doing that yesterday too. I was out with this guy. Sorry, Jason. No offense, but Jason's telling the starting to tell the little of the details. And I put my actually in this restaurant, put my fingers in my ears and was going la 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 la.
The thing is, it's one of those movies that you want to talk about,
right?
You
know, yeah,
you want to talk with your friends about.
Which is what great comedies are. I mean, that's what you do. I mean, I still who doesn't have a conversation about Meet the Parents wherever they go. I mean, and that happens all the time.
And you want to say, well, what about this part, or
right,
what about this part, or what about when, you know, with Mini-Me, and what about... The funniest stuff is the stuff that I can't tell you about. Mm.
And it's little stuff, little tiny vignettes and things like that.
I can't tell you, because I'm going to give away...
Rob, we got to go tonight.
I'm going to give away some of the funniest parts of the movie.
Rob, we'll have the movie sent into the hotel.
That would be nice.
The opening sequence will knock you on your ass.
Really? Good.
Really?
Fantastic.
God damn, I want to talk about it so bad. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hi, we're doing great.
Good. I just had a complaint about Austin Powers. Not about the movie, but you know those dumbasses who clap during good parts, especially during the opening sequence? People just clap. It's like, who are you clapping for?
Well, I like clapping if it's appropriate. If something's that good... Then you clap. I mean, I've been in movies where people clap at the end. It's great.
I may have clapped in the beginning myself.
Really? Because it's that good?
It's surprisingly funny.
Right.
I mean, it's funny, but there's no way you see it coming.
Okay.
No way.
Okay.
Hello, Don and Mike.
You're getting dangerously close. You're it's like you're buzzing the airfield.
All right.
You're getting lower and lower every time.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hi.
Yeah, man, I got to agree with you on this Austin Powers movie. I've seen it six times already since Brad.
Oh, my
God. Wow.
Hilarious. Funniest movie ever made in the effing world.
Yeah. Wow. These are now, see, well, the people speak. Mm-hmm. That's the way it always is with a comedy. You cannot ever really judge a comedy on what reviews say. Mike Clark at USA Today, once again, you've punted it.
When Bart and I were leaving, we sat in the car and laughed in the parking spot.
Oh, that's great.
For 10 minutes before we left. And my son said to me, Dad, I have never seen you laugh as much in a movie since There's Something About Mary.
Oh, God.
And Something About Mary, it wasn't so much the jokes. Mm-hmm. It was the premise and the things that you would see that you would realize were funny and hilarious.
Sure.
But Austin Powers, man, it is... Funny.
And also remember when Mary came out, there hadn't ever been anything like that on the screen in like 15 years, like maybe since Blazing Saddles.
Yeah,
and it's been done since then.
Right.
But it's up to Mike Myers to like take it up to the next level.
He did. I mean, he did.
That's good. It's always nice to have.
You know what?
I don't want to oversell it, but it seems to me what you're talking about, because it is true. A great comedy movie, a really great one, is really, this is going to sound totally jive, but it really is doing something for the audience. It gives you something that you walk out of the theater, and if it's a great enough comedy, you got that gift for a long time, where you can go to parties, you can talk to friends, and that's what I love about a great
comedy. It is great.
Yep.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, how your fellas going today?
Hey, we're doing great.
I got to agree with you, Don. I went to see it Friday morning with my two little six-year-old daughters. All weekend long, that's all they were saying, scenes from movies, all weekend long, just teasing each other. They probably couldn't go because they had to go to camp. But they were teasing them all weekend long, and he's mad, so I got to take him out Wednesday to go see it. But I love the movie.
Let me just ask you, in the first 10 minutes...
Oh, man, I'm not going to spoil it for Mike, but the first 10 minutes, I was laughing my ass off.
Yeah, I mean...
Wow, that's great.
I wish I could tell you. I don't want to ruin it for you, though.
Well, you know, by tomorrow, well, of course, you can't ruin it for everybody else, because you got to give it... Don't you think you have to give it 2 weekends?
No.
That'd be terrible.
Hello, Don and Mike.
You
know what? You're going to feel the same way after you see it. You're going to want to talk about it.
And he's within his right, because remember the policy is once you two have seen a movie, everybody's seen it.
All right, we're going tonight.
We're going.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Quick question for you.
Yeah.
Comparing the third one with the first two, which I just saw this past weekend.
It's funnier.
Better.
It's better.
3 is better than 1 and 2.
Yes.
Rob and I have good luck with movies.
Yes.
We had good luck with Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Wasn't that another one that Don recommended to you when I went to see it?
Yeah,
there we go.
Exactly.
Rob and I have a great time.
Hello.
Here
Don and Mike.
We didn't even sit together.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, I'm in Philadelphia, and I got a broken foot, and I just pretty much sit around and listen to you guys all day, but I want to see Austin Powers, and I got no way to get to the movie theater.
Yeah, well, we'll pick up about 7 o'clock.
I'm serious.
Yeah, I'm not.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Okay.
Hey, great. Hey, Mike, I'm not going to spoil anything for you, because I didn't almost go see Austin Powers. I heard made bad things about it. The opening scene is incredible.
All right, man.
The movie is flat nuts funny. I never laughed so hard at a movie in my life. Unbelievable.
That's great.
That's all me and my talk.
You know what? This is so amazing.
So many great gags.
This is great.
The opening scene is the best, man. It took me so by surprise.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Great.
The guy, I don't know what he...
Mike, I turned it off for you. I turned it off.
Man.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Oh, sure. I'm sorry. We don't take easy paths here on the toll road. Just put your damn 35 cents and go on.
This is Grease Man calling.
Oh, okay. I got you. Hi, Grease Man.
Oh, it's Grease.
Hey, Grease.
Hello?
Hey, what's up, Grease?
Oh, by the doodle, I'd like to announce my triumphant return to the DC Morning Airwaves.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Listen. The Grease Man's on like a 1 watt AM station.
All right.
That's about 50 miles outside of D.C.
At least those stinking slant eyes aren't charging me to put the show on.
Oh,
all right, get out of
here.
Goodbye, Doug.
Still politically incorrect.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Okay.
This movie was unbelievable. I had so much fun at this movie. The theater was packed. Everybody was laughing.
That's the best, too. I mean, nothing like going to see a comedy when it's a jammed theater. I love it like that.
I got two things I have to suggest. First of all, I don't know if you want a specific theater in Philly for tonight or not, but...
Yeah, well, I mean, I would. I wouldn't mind a recommendation.
Okay, it's called the Hempstead and the Chamonix. It's just outside of Philadelphia, north of Philadelphia. Fantastic theater. Also, Rob.
Yeah.
This is the funniest movie you'll have seen since Schindler's List.
Oh, God. Wow. The Rob-alizer.
Oh, my God. Hello, Don and Mike. No.
Yeah, this is Jim from Philadelphia.
Hey, Jim.
The opening scene in Austin Powers, I was crying. It was so funny.
Jeez. Okay, everybody, Christ. I'm telling you.
Wow.
I'm not wrong really, about this.
This is powerful. I mean, this is really, and you know what? It also makes me realize I'm almost about over reading reviews.
Please.
Yeah.
Please.
But you and I read that review out of USA Today on Friday and read it in that way when they pan a movie. And it's a good review because they're talking about, you know, the bathroom humor, the potty humor.
And it's
like,
great.
Potty humor is the greatest.
It's so great.
Lowbrow humor is great.
Donovan, but there's so much more.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that is great, but there's so much more than that.
Wow.
Hello, Donna Mike.
Hi, I never saw the first two. I never cared about it. But the way you all are raving about this one, now I want to see it. So will I have missed anything by not seeing the first two?
You know, I think you do have to see.
It would help.
Yeah, you got to see him because then you kind of get the idea of what he's up to. And what I heard about the first and the second one, and I agree with this, is the first and second one, you go in, you watch it. Yeah, it's pretty funny, especially the first one.
Okay.
And then afterwards, you start thinking about it. You see it a few times. You see it. Mm-hmm. Where have you been anyway that you didn't see either one of these?
Well, I mean, I'm around, but, you know, I never
Hasn't
liked
it been on cable, like the first one, a million times?
Yeah, you know what is really, really smart about this is that this movie, while it's an Austin Powers movie,
mm-hmm.
there's really not a lot of Austin Powers. I mean,
right.
there's not a lot of that... Yeah, baby.
Right.
I mean, it's there.
Right.
There's enough.
Right.
So that it's there.
Right.
But the movie really is about...
Dr. Evil?
No.
No.
I mean, yes,
right.
but no.
Right.
The movie is about all of the people reacting to Austin
and
to Dr. Evil.
But really a bunch of gags, which every great comedy is.
And Scott Evil and Mini-Me and Frau What's-Her-Name.
Right, right.
Oh, goddamn. There's a prison scene.
Ah! La, 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 la! La, 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 la!
I'm sorry. Don and Mike. Hello.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're great, thanks.
Good, good. I'm not going to ruin it for Mike. I promise, Mike.
Well, right now, the way the show, the beginning of the show's going, I'm waiting for Mike Myers to send us a big fat check. Because he had that great weekend. And listen to this word of mouth. My God.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, the scenes with Fat Bastard.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Yes, you won't be disappointed.
Unbelievable. I had to look at it and shake my head.
He's not giving anything away because you know Fat Bastard's in the movie.
Man, what time's the show over?
Yeah.
You are not going to be disappointed.
I'm psyched now. I'm really psyched.
And I really went in with the attitude of, well...
Yeah, whatever. I heard that. Everybody's kind of...
Maybe it'll be okay. And that's what made it so great.
Yesterday was the first time I got a real raid.
Hey, hi, Marty.
Hey.
Now, listen, keep in mind, we don't want to give away anything about the movie. Really, okay?
Which movie?
Duh. What movie did we just see?
Austin Powers.
Right. Now, did you get your stitches out?
Yeah.
Okay, great. How funny was that movie?
It's all right.
You know what? He's working his dab.
I'm sure with you, Dad. It was really good.
Have you ever seen me laugh as much in a movie?
Maybe Something About Mary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever laughed as much in a movie?
Yes.
Really? What movie?
I saw it last night.
What?
Bones.
Bones?
Yeah.
All right, listen. He's 17. What can I say? He's got a skewed sense of what's funny and what's not funny. But when we walked out of that theater on Saturday, were we not both laughing?
Yeah.
And didn't we just sit in the car and laugh and talk about all of the things that happened in that movie?
Yeah.
And how would you rate the first 15 minutes?
They're pretty funny. Pretty good.
Pretty good.
He's 17. He's being cool.
Yeah, I know. He's afraid.
Oh, wait there 1 second. I got another call.
Okay.
He'll be right back.
This is the problem. For a long time, he was a precocious little kid who I could parade out. And he would go, I love you, Daddy. I love you, Daddy. Hey, Ken Stevens, give my daddy more money.
Mm-hmm. Now he's a strapping young man getting ready to go off to college.
Right? Here he is now, afraid to even let it be known that he had a good time at the movies. And who is he talking to?
Probably a girl.
How is this? How is this that my own kids put me on hold?
It's come to this.
What's all this then?
I'm calling my own
house.
Maybe he
was talking to the girl that was in the car when he blew the tires out.
And I got to tell you about that.
Oh, really?
Not that I've done any more investigating into that. But remember when Bart said, hey, Dad, great news, I've saved the family $200?
Right.
Well, I got a call from the guy, Jim, the guy who's fixing the car, who said, actually, it's going to be $1,400 to fix the car, not $900, because Bart had also so badly bent the wheel arms
right
on the front and the rear that they had to be replaced also.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Now, where did he go?
He's talking to a mechanic,
what's that?
Maybe he's talking to a mechanic.
Sorry about that.
Who was that?
What?
Who was that?
Mrs. O.
Oh, all right, Mrs. O, I gotcha. No pun intended.
Wow.
Mrs. O.
She was on the street?
Popular guy.
But that movie was great.
Bye.
So busy.
Who are you saying bye to?
I'm saying hello.
Who are you saying hi to?
Alicia.
Alicia, oh, the cleaning lady.
Oh.
Oh, my God. Tell her not to wash my underpants.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. I got the pair from Friday, and I was going to throw them away.
Yeah.
When Mike and I were golfing.
Yeah, it was a little humid out on that.
Sure was.
It was quite a humid day.
Sure was.
You said you were going to. What stopped you?
Really, Barney, wasn't that movie great?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, that's all I wanted to say. Movie great.
Right.
Don't you recommend it to Uncle Mike and everybody?
Sure.
Yeah.
We're going to go see it tonight. He's still laughing.
Okay. I love you.
Love you, too.
All right. See you later.
Peace.
Excuse me.
So you're saying you were doing some stock trading on Friday? Small cap, large cap, and brown cap.
That's right. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Source. O'Mara.
Yeah.
And how are y'all doing?
Well, you forgot Elston.
I said Elston.
Oh, you did say Elston.
Hey.
Buzz.
Hey.
Hi.
Anyway, that movie was great. I was. You have to get a buzz on before you go see it. And I almost threw up in the first 10 minutes.
Robin, I can do that.
And Mike, if you lose weight, your neck will look like a vagina.
Well, now, you know what? Stop it.
I don't get it.
You'll get it when you see the movie. And what he's doing
is... giving this stuff away.
You know, stop that.
God, don't do that. But I know what you're saying. There was a guy doing it yesterday. People that see the movie, they want to tell. They want to share. And then
now
in a couple of weeks, we're all going to be able to share.
No, tomorrow we're going to be able to. If you guys see it tonight.
Are we going to talk about it tomorrow? I can empathize so totally with everybody. Well, then, you know what? I've got to tell everybody in our listening audience. If you didn't see it over the weekend, go see it tonight. It's a Monday night. It'll be a little slower than a normal night.
The movie made $70 million.
Yeah. Plus, you want to come?
Yeah, I'd love to come.
Thank you. Yeah, I forgot. Yeah. I mean, you're going to be up in Philly,
yeah,
too. Yeah, we'll all go together.
Plenty of people saw it.
Very good.
You will love it.
Mm-hmm.
You will love it.
All right. $71.5 million over the weekend.
Jesus. Surprised it didn't do better.
Yeah.
That's good, though, because, I mean...
It will.
I'm going to say the jive line that I've tried to modify. A great comedy is the gift that keeps on giving.
Mm-hmm.
Because you talk about it, you share it, and you get laughs.
I thought herpes was the gift that kept on giving.
It was more than one.
More than one gift.
Anyway, it was great. And go see it.
Good.
So we can talk about it. And I'm just so happy one time to come on here and tell you.
Yeah.
I saw a movie that goddamn... just knocked my D in the dirt.
You remind me of when I came in and told you about something about Mary.
Mm-hmm.
You remind me of me doing that, and that's why I am super jacked. And we are never wrong. I mean, I hate to say this, but we are always in agreement on comedies.
We are.
Always, and we are never wrong about them. I hate to tell people that, but it's the truth.
It's true. Just wait. You know, and I was going to say bring a phone, but no, that's annoying. Don't bring a phone. But I want you... to call me after the first 15 minutes.
Right.
Go
to you want a double dip. Go see it with us tonight.
I can't because I've got a double dip with Frida. Frida didn't see it, and I've got to see it with her now as well.
Okay. All right.
I don't want to see it three times.
Right. Okay. All right.
Not yet.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Not yet, but go see it.
Yeah, I remember I saw something about Mary probably a week after I saw it the first time. It's, you know.
It's fun. That's good. I like hearing a rave.
It's
nice to be positive. Yeah. Anyway, it's a great movie. It's a goddamn hilarious movie. And this is where the happy part of the weekend ends.
Oh, mm-hmm.
The rest of my weekend was perfectly fine.
Oh, good.
But I understand that there were some problems, and we have to break, but there were some problems, some internal problems on the show.
Yes.
Between Mike
yes.
and someone who's close to someone on this show.
A horrible, horrible fight that I had with one of our co-workers' wives.
Really?
Yes.
Well, now I know it.
Horrible.
I know it wasn't my wife.
Right.
Was it your wife, Rob?
Probably. I don't know.
No, it wasn't
your wife.
No.
Well, let me see. That would only leave...
Joe isn't married.
That would only leave Buzz.
You're not... If
Buzz was a witness. But it was pretty ugly.
Wow.
You had a fight with Marcia?
Yeah.
I had no idea how bad it was.
Right.
I'm used to that.
I told you he was amused by it.
I was.
Yes, it was. But it was great. Hey, you know, we were just basically one step short of starting to smack each other.
Hey, I have to hear this.
Right.
I have to.
And I apologize for using the F word to your wife.
Oh, no, it's fine. Oh, it was appropriate. Actually.
All right.
I enjoyed it.
I didn't, and it's not like F you. I didn't use that. It was just, well, it's probably just as bad. But it was, I used the F word in, I'm not, I'll tell you.
You were within your life.
877-365-3636, the number. Celebrity Burp number 5. We are playing today, kids, for $40,000.
Wow. My God.
$40,000 right now. Dial recklessly. Be the 100th caller and good luck.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Weather Journal wants to know why you and the Orioles don't go out and get some more team speed.
Team speed, for Christ's sake, you get goddamn little fleas on the f***ing bases, getting picked off, trying to steal, getting thrown out, taking runs away from you. You get them big pitchers that can hit the f***ing ball out of the ballpark and you can't make any goddamn mistakes.
Terry Elliott of Washington, D.C., wants to know why you don't use Terry Crowley as a designated hitter all the time.
Well, Terry Crowley's rookies in f***ing baseball, for for Christ's sake. He was released by the Cincinnati Reds. He was released by the f***ing goddamn Atlanta Braves. We saw that Terry Crowley could sit on his ass for 8 innings and enjoy watching a baseball game just like any other fan, and has the ability to get up there and break one open in the f***ing night. So if this sicker mind his own business, and then he managed to f***ing do, he'd be a lot better off.
Well, certainly you've made your opinions known on the fans' questions about baseball, Earl, but let's get to something else. Alice Sweet from Norfolk wants to know the best time to put in the tomato plant.
Alice Sweet ought to be worried about where to her next lady's coming from, or rather where her next goddamn tomato plant's coming from. If she get her ass out of the f***ing barns at night and go hustling around the goddamn street, she might get a fuck in her once in a while. I don't understand where these questions are coming from, Tom. That's about it for the manager's corner. Go f*** yourself and the f*** with your show coming up next on the Baltimore Oriole Baseball f***ing Network.
The Don and Mike Show.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mundus.
You'll love their D's and B's. Don and Mike.
All right, we got plenty of love for Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Great number one ratings you guys gave us. We thank you. We are starting the We Love Philadelphia show tomorrow.
Yeah, we're going to be live in Philly.
Yeah. On tomorrow's show, we're going to be playing Match Game 2002 and
wonderful.
We will play with the first two people to show up at WYSP.
That's all you have to do. Show up at the station, and we will play with you.
Yeah, I don't know if you should get there at, you know, 8 in the morning. We'll go on at 11.
Right.
All I know is that we will take the first two people to show up at YSP tomorrow morning. Come to the studio and join us for Match Game.
Wonderful. Very exciting.
That is on tomorrow's episode, and also, from Philly, well, the 76ers are going to have the best team in jail this year.
What happened now?
They are going to win the JBA title.
What exactly happened?
That is the Jail Basketball Association.
Somebody else got in trouble?
Yeah. Derek Coleman.
What did he do?
He's a DUI.
Mm. Oh, come on.
Doing 100 miles an hour.
No, you don't do that.
In his Land Rover.
That's bad.
At 3:30 a.m.
Very, very bad.
There you go, Derek.
Very bad to do that.
No, he wanted to hurry up and get home so he couldn't hurt anybody.
Okay, time for a call number 100, and it is you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I'm caller 100.
Yeah, hi, what's your name?
Jess from Baltimore.
Hi, Jess. Okay, here you go. Jess. Oh, my God.
Oh.
What a prize.
A super prize?
Let me just say to you, private eyes, they're watching you.
Paul and Oates, be still, my beating heart.
You make my dreams come true.
Man, because your kiss is on my lips.
Sarah, smile. You won tickets to see Hall and Oates. But wait, there really is a silver lining.
I can't go for that. No.
Todd Rundgren is the opening act.
Oh.
And he's worth it.
Hello, yeah. It's me.
Don't do that, Todd.
Hello.
No, come on.
Todd Rundgren is good.
I heard stories about Todd Rundgren. Didn't we hear a story about Todd Rundgren when we were doing our show down at the beach?
What story did we hear about him?
That he got a Hummer, like at the green room?
Yes. At the Bottling Court.
That's it, Bottling Court. That's where it was.
There's nothing gay about that.
I just got, you know, how I love to speak like this, and I'm still thinking about hauling out.
I don't think he got it from a man. That's right. Hi, this is Greg Wilson. Here to tell you, you just want a pair of tickets to see Hall & Oates.
Wow.
With special guest Todd Rundgren. Now, who needs him?
Whoa, here she comes.
At Merriweather Post Pavilion, Sunday, August 11th. Tickets on sale at Ticketmaster. Online at Ticketmaster.com. Although my partner Jack and I have changed the words a little bit.
Hello there, Craig.
Listen, he only comes out at night.
Yes, and originally it was she only comes out at night. But we know that they were both talking about a man. Just, you know, just like I call you sometimes when I'm mad a bit.
He only comes out at night. Mean and hungry. Nothing you can do. I've been in here before.
watching and waiting. He's sitting with you, but his eyes are on the door.
Oh, oh.
And he pays his fee.
Yes, Marie.
A man is wild.
Make the fist and pull it back towards your breath. There you go. Like this. Back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth.
All right, here we go. Craig Wilson, birthday.
Whoa, here he comes.
Watch out, boy. He'll eat you up.
Whoa, here he comes.
He's a man eater.
Oh, eat me.
Whoa, here he comes.
Eat me.
Watch out, boy. He'll chew you up.
Ow.
Whoa, here he comes.
He's a man eater.
Anyway, enjoy. Enjoy your tickets. Enjoy your tickets. Now, are you ready to play for $40,000?
Absolutely. I haven't heard any new clues yet, though.
Yeah, that's because the jackpot is worth $40,000.
Yeah, you get very little information, so you have to listen very carefully to the burp.
There are no clues. Please don't answer until Mike sings like...
Daryl Hall.
Hi. And we wish you Godspeed.
Caller, name this celebrity burp.
Listen carefully, because this is one hell of a burp. Wow. That is a major league burp. There it is.
Private eyes, they're watching you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Oh, you forgot that one. Private eyes.
I had that.
Oh, you had that
at
one.
The very beginning.
You're the music college.
I'll win you. I'll beat you at this.
Yes.
I can't go for that. No. Adult education. Let me see. You've lost that loving feeling.
There you go.
Say it isn't so.
Oh, yeah. That was right at the end of the string, wasn't it?
You're out of touch. I'm out of time.
You know, I don't know, mid-1980s, it was just...
Everything.
Every week they had a single out.
You left out their last great hurrah. M-E-T-H-O-D-O-F-L-O-V-E.
The method of modern love.
Oh, my God.
For $40,000, who is that?
I'm going to guess William Shatner. I have no idea.
Oh, we're sorry.
No, not William Shatner. Oh, you never know, though. Could be. I mean, it's not.
Right.
I don't doubt that.
Right.
Good is guess. How William Shatner might sound.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget that every guest
is a clue for you.
For you.
Thank you, my friend. So, now we're going to hear about the fight between Mike and Buzz's wife.
Well, yeah, Buzz and his lovely wife, Marcia, and our former engineer, Daryl, and Daryl's wife.
Christine.
Is it wife? They're married now, right?
Yes. Yeah. Right.
And what's her name?
Christine.
Christine came out, and I saw them early on. They were there at the place we played, PJ Skidoo's, on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to thank all the people that came out for the beginning of the show.
Right.
And I don't want to thank the people that left before the end of the show. But it was kind of a lean last.
Is it your band?
Yeah.
Your band.
Yeah, a lot of issues.
We're getting the band back together, man.
We are, technically. But it was a bad night Saturday night, all in all. It might have been a bad omen when that... So I went back to join Buzz, and, you know, we were setting up and checking the equipment and getting everything ready to go with a planned start time about 10 o'clock. That's when we always play. We start at 10 and at 1:30. 10 to 1:30. That's normally our time. You know, sometimes we'll start earlier. Sometimes we'll start later. So I sit down, and we're chatting. We're going back and forth, exchanging pleasantries. And, you know, Marcia at a certain point says, so what time do you start? And I said, we start at about 10 o'clock. She said, well, you said you start at 9:30. I said, I didn't say that. She said, well, no, the literature says, the flyer, or whatever it is, says you start at
the
9:30. I said, well,
Christine had called ahead, and the hostess, I guess, at the restaurant said 9:30. That's where she got 9:30.
At 9:30, and I guess Marcia was kind of... locked into this 9:30 start time, and so I said, "Well, Marcia, it would probably be 10 o'clock." Well, that's false advertising. You said you're going to start at the 9:30. I said, Marsha, we're going to start at 10. I said,
so now, this is before you go on.
What are you making a big deal about it?
This is before you go on and you're sitting at a table
right.
with Buzz and his wife
right.
and Daryl and his wife.
Right. And then, you know, and I said, you thought it would move. Well, you know, maybe we could start a little, you know. And then I'm starting to feel the pressure
mm-hmm.
from Buzz's wife. You know, said, well, maybe we'll go on about 9:50
yeah.
for you, Marsha. You know, she said, well, how about 9:40? And I'm like, Marsha? And then about during all this, you know, it starts out playful.
Now, is this playful? That was like
yeah.
playful. Is this playful banter?
It's playful banter
yes.
and bordering on getting pissed.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't. It was playful banter up until the time the manager comes over.
Mm-hmm.
Now this is a guy that has paid our band up front to come in and be there. And you know, I didn't mind it when she was giving it to me, but when the manager came over. And so the manager walks by, and I'm still feeling the pressure from Marsha. So I said, we're starting about 9:45, 9:50. And Marsha then, at the top of her lungs, right in front of the manager, says, well, your advertising says 9:30.
Oh, God.
And I said, at that point, it just came out of me, and I'd like to apologize.
No, don't. Don't
I'd
apologize.
Like to apologize to
no,
her on the air. I said, Marsha, shut the F up.
Words that Buzz has always wanted to say.
Buzz was just about laughing his ass.
I was gleeful.
But Buzz was not. And if I felt a bad vibe from Buzz, I would have maybe backed off a little
no,
bit. But,
not for me.
You know, and so, I, you know, the manager goes away. I said, Marsha, what are you doing? I said, Marsha, have I never been nice to you? She said, and then she moves into, well, every time we're ever together, you totally ignore me. And I'm like, and at that point,
slight.
I'm like, I said, you know, I said, they have medicine for this. I mean, do you get yourself some medication? And then I forgot what she said after that.
Yeah, well,
she said something, well, I'm on hormones or something like that.
Yeah,
or something like that.
That.
And she was drinking coffee
yes.
at like 9:45. And I said, stop it. You know, get something strong.
She loves the coffee.
Have a teeny.
She had had a drink.
Have a little, yeah, a drink. Maybe
yeah.
that is that what it takes?
Yeah.
One drink,
one cup of coffee. Boom.
So, you know, and she said, well, you know, I just meet you. Ignore me. I said, I don't ignore you. Yes, you ignore me. I'm like, Jesus Christ. I'm, you know, 15 minutes away from getting up there and having to play the drums. And she's like, going, and I'm like, Marsha,
stop it, Marsha. Please stop it. Now, Buzz, let me ask you this.
Yes.
As the husband and a viewer in this.
Yeah. I can tell you what his reaction was.
What was it?
Joy. Unbridled glee.
He was
thoroughly enjoying himself.
Joy that it wasn't me. Joy that it wasn't my friend Daryl. Daryl was joyful.
Daryl,
it wasn't him.
Yeah, Daryl was practically...
We were both delighted that it was someone other than us for
right.
a change.
Daryl was unhinging his jaw and just grinning ear to ear as I'm going. And I am just... She is dialed in on me like nobody's... And the facial expression never changes. You know when somebody's looking at you and it's like... You know, where the eyebrows are slightly raised, and they just stare at like, yes, yes, I'm totally effing with you, and I'm not going to stop.
Mike, on behalf of all of us,
yes,
who have died over the last 12 years,
right?
When we talk about our pathetic lives at home,
right, right.
I thank you for pulling the curtain back,
yes,
closing it.
Yes,
on what has been held up. Wrongly so on a pedestal
yes.
as the perfect marriage.
I confess. And I, too, thank
well,
you for pulling back the cover.
Well, let me point something out. You know, Daryl, I guess you go out with Daryl and his wife quite
yeah.
often.
Yeah, fairly often.
And Buzz, you know, the married man sitting over there,
right.
I'm not going to say that this maybe isn't the perfect scenario, because the one that's getting just the bucket loads of S poured on his head is me.
Yeah.
The moment I sat down and I came back there
thanks,
and I said,
Mike.
Hey, how you doing? And of course, we played the first set, and then, you know, and then I look over at the end of the first set, and there's Marsha, you know, standing right next to the door. You know, obviously, you know, waiting to just beeline it to her car. You know, I said, thank you so much for coming through. I said, we didn't keep you out too late tonight, did we? I said, thank you so much. And, you know, it was great.
We stayed for the first set, which we thoroughly enjoyed. We'd been up since like 5:36 that morning. So
oh, really?
It's been a long day.
Yeah, well, maybe that's the excuse.
Let me apologize for that and just say that the band sounds great. I know you were having some frustrations that evening as well,
but the band sounded
great. Yes.
Let's not focus on that now. Let's focus on Mike telling your wife
you're right.
to shut
all right,
the F up.
Here's the deal.
Yeah.
The manager came by, and I'm a little uptight because, you know, we're getting the money up front. I always like to make sure things go
sure.
specifically. And Marsha had introduced this 9:30 time, which is, you know, we only map it out. You know, we play about a 50-minute set, and we take about a two-hour break. No, we play three 50-minute sets, usually, 50 to 55-minute sets, and then we take a break. And so it usually works out that way,
right.
So that's why I said this. And she was giving it to me playfully, and then the manager came over, and she said, well, and right top of her lungs, you know, right in front of him, I thought you said 9:30, and that's when I turned, you know, right there. It's like, Marcia, shut the F up!
Now, leave me alone. I didn't give an X. I don't want to start at effing 9:30, Marcia. I don't care what the host has said, God damn it.
Now,
we got a whole band. We haven't even done a sound check yet.
What was Marcia's response to
delight
outburst?
Delight. It's like she got what she wished. And then that's when she went. the corners of her mouth just curled up a little. I realized I had contributed what she was searching for.
Yes.
She wanted to get the rise out of me, and she did, probably a little sooner than she expected. But then the manager, you know, Billy, you know, mm-hmm. who's a very nice guy, or PJ Skidoo, is like, he's from Greece, and he says, hey, no problem. And he goes walking off, you know, I'm like, Marcia, Jesus Christ, it's the manager, it's the guy firing us, why are you doing that to me? And then, you know, just that look of,
now,
curled up.
It was a glorious smile. Moment.
Yeah, she loved it. She loved it.
Yeah.
And then what I didn't understand, I haven't been around Marcia, and, you know, I don't
well, of course she's right.
Maybe I have ignored her. Maybe I have ignored her. Maybe I have.
I don't know.
I didn't know what this dynamic was, but I mean, it was one of these situations where I looked over at you, and you know, you would think that Buzz might be a little concerned.
Might be uptight.
No, Buzz was just quietly, absolutely. The look on Buzz's face was, yep, just what he said. Better you than me. That's the way it looks.
Thanks for having that bullet.
And that's surprising,
mm-hmm.
because Frida gives you certainly not as much crap as she gives me.
Right.
But she gives you crap.
Yes.
She even gave you crap when we met her on Friday.
Yeah.
After we had played golf. She was giving us both.
She gives me so much crap, sometimes I don't even know what she was giving me crap. What did she give me a crap about Friday? Because I forgot.
It was about what you were doing on Saturday.
Right.
And
right.
She was giving us both crap. I mean, you didn't even notice.
No. Do you sometimes, does it come by and you don't...
Didn't you hear when she said, did you have two carts or one? And right. I said, one. And she went... Is the air still in the tires?
Wow. I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that.
But here's my point.
Right.
Even with all that.
Right.
If you ever said in my presence.
Right.
To Frida.
Right.
Shut the F up. I would have to say to you.
No, you shut the F up.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Right. Well, it's. I apologize.
So I'm curious, Buzz.
Right. When a man's right, he's right.
That's Marcia on the phone.
That's kind of the end.
Get her on the phone.
Hang on a second.
I want to say that to her. No!
This is not going to go well. I want Buzz
to say this to his wife.
No.
Let Buzz stand up to his wife.
She's okay. Going to hurt me again.
No, she won't.
I don't like getting in between you and your wives, boys.
I will protect you.
This is Michael. May I speak to Marcia?
And see, he's just as
no, well, I'm on the air.
You know,
so.
You know
I'll
what?
Protect you, Mike.
You know what? No one's going to get hurt but me in this situation.
No, you know.
Something really
Mike!
Something mean's going to be said.
No. Commander Spiewak!
Then your wife's going to call.
Commander Spiewak, shields
no!
up.
No!
Shields up.
Oh, God damn it.
Shields up. We're
okay.
ready.
Yes, we're waiting for Marcia to come to the phone.
Hello.
Hi, Marcia.
Hi.
We're on the air.
Oh, we are?
Yes, we've just been talking, Don and Mike have been talking about their weekends, and Mike was just mentioning Saturday night. And,
Hi, Marcia.
Don was concerned. Don's question is this. When Mike said to you, Marcia, shut the F up, they're both kind of shocked that I didn't jump to your defense and say, you know, no, Mike, you shut the F up. And when they asked me about why I didn't challenge Mike on that on the air, I said, well, you know, when the man's right, he's right. So they just wanted me to present that to you and see what your reaction was to that.
Well, you were probably right.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Now, she was feeling very confident, very cocky Saturday night.
I was.
Yeah, and now not...
If he was going to say that, then I was going to have to take it, right?
Oh, God.
Or have my own comeback.
Hey, Marcia, I'm sorry
I said
that.
I don't expect you to fight my battles for me.
Marcia, I'm really sorry I said that.
Mike has apologized.
I'm apologizing.
I got myself into it, so
Marcia?
To get myself out of it.
No,
she can't hear you because it's coming through the news console.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Can you hear me, Marcia?
You can say anything you want to, or she won't hear you.
Marcia, don't act with me like that again.
Mike says he's very, very sorry.
Tired of that crap. He got a job to do. I don't need you.
He has apologized.
My news guy give me all that.
He's apologized for speaking to you that way.
Don't ever do that to me.
I have
again.
To apologize.
You understand? Yeah, thank you.
We were all just
don't you forget me.
We were all just having fun. We were kidding, right?
Don't
absolutely,
you forget
and the band was great.
She can't hear me. Yeah, I don't believe that.
No.
You thought the band was great. Why didn't you stay for two more sets?
See, he wants to know if the band was so great, why you didn't stay for more sets.
No.
Because I was with people who were tired.
Ah, yes.
Tired. Okay, well, I'm tired of your crap.
It's been a long day.
She can't hear me, right?
This is interesting. Right. Very interesting dynamic. Yeah.
I understand. Yeah. I'm just tweaking it up.
Well, I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
Sorry if we called it a bad time. We were just talking about our weekends.
Okay.
All right.
Love you. Bye.
Take care. Love you. Bye-bye. There it is.
See if you can steal some medication from the doctor's office.
There. Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Well, it was funny. It was fascinating. I don't believe Marcia's ever gone after me quite that way.
She does that for fun. Yeah, lifelong consummate ball buster.
She does like that.
That's for her, that's sport.
That's what she does.
Yeah.
Yes, it's her thing. It's her thing to do, and it was fascinating.
But Buzz, how come we don't ever hear this portrayal of Marcia on the show?
But she doesn't do it to you a lot, does she?
Oh, yeah.
She does?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, quite a bit.
Wow.
Really? What's the last thing she really busted your balls about?
I don't know. I have to think about it.
See, she doesn't.
Yeah.
Well, he's not telling the truth. She does
Let me research.
She does it to us. She does it to us.
You gotta research.
She does it to us.
You gotta research that. Ask me that question.
Okay, when's the last time you got your balls busted?
9:30 this morning.
Wow, that recently.
Yeah.
Ask me when the last time I got my balls busted was. Two months ago.
Yeah, I know.
Or maybe I've just gotten used to it and don't really notice it so much.
Oh, God. Anyway.
Speaking of which, hold on. Let me...
Crazy night Saturday anyway. I was not a happy man by the end of the night.
She was just feeling frisky.
I'm going to say it publicly. Right. I don't care if my bandmates get mad at me. Crap was crap on Saturday night.
See, I disagree.
Crap, I know you disagree. It's an in-house thing.
I know.
Got business to take care of. Just, just wish people would do what they say they're going to do.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say. Don't want to step on any toes.
Hello, Big Frida?
Yeah, hi. How are you doing?
Hi there, Mama. You're on the air. This is my mother-in-law, everybody.
Hi, Big Frida.
Hi.
Frida.
Are you mine?
I'm wonderful.
Hey.
Hey, listen, I have a question for you.
All right.
I wanted to ask you this on Friday's episode.
Oh, I heard about that.
I couldn't get you.
Did you get the better... part of it. You got Judy.
Yeah.
She's very chef.
Are you being jolly?
Ah, with a vengeance.
Now, when Frida told you to be jolly, like she was lecturing me to be jolly,
right?
At any point, did you feel the urge to say to her, why don't you try being jolly?
No, because I really thought she had a valid point. You can only, she can only... worry about so much, and she said to me that perhaps she seems much stronger than she is, but...
You realize now that, and for a while, I thought it was me, but it's both of us now. It's me, her husband, and you, her mother, that she's come to with this demand to be... jollier.
Yeah, but see, she hasn't sung any songs to me, and I've not seen a red Santa suit. I'm still in good shape here.
See, you know what? Your mother-in-law looks out for you. Your mother-in-law is your fan. I swear to God. See, she remembers the good stuff that you do.
I love him dearly. I know.
I think it's wonderful.
And you're my, Yeah.
I'm your girl.
Might as well be my mom. I mean, really. So what are we going to do about your daughter?
I went and got on my pedal bike and biked for 20 minutes fast. I worked it off because where I was feeling, I really was...
No. Big Frida, you're wrong. See, you and I must align our forces now as the two most important people in Frida's lives.
I feel better.
No. We must align ourselves together and be a unified front against her. We must tell her. If we are not...
I love you enough to choose a side either way.
I don't know. We must simply align ourselves and say to her, as fellow Virgos, that if we are not jolly all the time, deal with it. Who is she to tell us, fellow Virgos, that we are not jolly.
Are we not jolly?
Well, I tell you, it works like this. If I don't tell her I'm not jolly, then she can't tell me to jolly up.
I am not going to say that to Frida's mother, Rob.
Rob
wrote down maybe an accident.
We don't want to
know. No, that's really
no I simply think that this could be, perhaps, in all of the little tedious spats that Frida and I have, this is the biggest ace I've ever had up my sleeve, that I can now pull this out and say, not only do you say this to me, which is an insult, you say this to your mother.
Right.
No.
To your mother.
My glass is always half full, and sometimes when it feels like it's half empty, I need someone to tell me to buck up, because really and truly, right now, this is as good as life's going to get.
So you're not my partner in this. You're going to take it.
She's not sitting anymore. I jollied up.
Oh, good to see you.
I jollied up. Right. That's what I did, too.
We're working at different ends of the problem.
I jollied up, too, but I was hoping that you and I could offer resistance.
She told me how thoughtful you've been and that you really had.
Jollied up, yeah.
When you said you thought you'd just leave your problems in the car and come on in.
Yeah, but you know, Big Frida, don't you find it hard to be jolly?
Yeah.
So do I.
I tell you one thing, I really find it harder to talk about it or have to discuss why I am. I don't mean...
And I'm not getting into that. I'm just saying...
No, but what I'm saying is, so I feel like if I really ponder it too much, and you know, nothing to do with this conversation, but in general, in life, then you just go around in circles. So you just take what you got and do the best you can.
Can I tell both of you what I do? Tell you what I do.
What?
I fancy myself as a relatively happy person. I get the, you know, I have bouts of temper.
Jolly.
Bouts of what's that?
But not jolly.
I don't know if I'm jolly. I think Rob's jolly. I don't consider myself jolly. I think I'm very, I like to laugh. I like to be happy around people. But what I'm doing right now lately, I try to laugh, put myself in social situations, go out, have a good time, be happy with people, and then at a certain point each and every day, simply sob like an infant for about a minute and a half, and then it's all done. It's like that lady in broadcast news when Holly Hunter had her little moment like that. I usually have them at night, usually about a movie or something. If I see that, that's it. Otherwise, you know, I'm fine.
Yeah. Well, you sort of have your downtown, but then, you know, you can't have a pity party.
Did she tell you what she told me, that even if you're not really jolly, just fake it?
No, she only told me that maybe she appeared stronger than she really truly is, and she works at it, and that maybe she couldn't carry, too many burdens.
All of these terrible burdens that were piling upon your poor, put-upon daughter.
No, but what it is with me is that...
Thank God I've still got that apartment in New York so that your daughter can get away from all the burdens that her husband and her mother are piling on her.
I hope I'm not piling burdens on her.
Listen, Big Frida, you're not, and I'm not. Let's face it. I've given your daughter the perfect life.
Let's face it. That's how she wouldn't get too complacent.
You know what's cool about this? Not many son-in-laws can speak to mom-in-law like this.
No wonder your daughter is always happy. What does she have to worry about? Really? What does she have to worry about? Wouldn't you train spots with her in an instant? I mean, take out the part you'd have to have sex with me. Wouldn't you train spots with her in a second? I would.
Maybe you're taking out the best part.
That's a... here we go. Now we have just waltzed into that weird dynamic.
With a smile on her face. I want to give up everything.
Wow.
Yeah.
He never complains about that. Not me. I've never heard a complaint.
Oh, my.
Wow. Congratulations.
By all the perks.
There you go.
Might be hard on you, but he was.
Remember, we're not blood related.
Oh, you're killing me.
Well, as ancestors both come in the family.
Wow. All right, well, man. I just wanted to commiserate
with you, since we've both been getting the same ration of S from your daughter.
You got to give a big treat around the place. Yeah. Doing a little comedy for us.
All right, Mike, you call it comedy.
Yes, okay.
I call it truth.
Stop it. Don, you sound a lot jollier.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I'm jolly.
Evidently, it worked, yeah.
Here's the thing. I'm jolly because misery loves company. And when I heard, when Frida told me that she gave you the same lecture, it was like the weight had been lifted. It was all of a sudden.
Oh, it was. I think it was meant to tell you to buck up. See, this old lady can do it. And you can do it too.
Yeah, but would you like to tell her another word that rhymes with buck?
No.
I mean, I would.
I know any word with buck.
That's 21 years of marriage, man. That's what does that. Wow.
All right. Well.
It's only going on 61 for us, so we're just getting.
There you go. God bless you.
Well, be jolly.
Okay, honey.
Be jolly. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you about the. What
Judy's
call this morning. Thank you for that.
Oh, listen. Never worry about that.
Yeah, well, you just do too much, and you're a good guy.
Never worry about that.
Okay, honey.
Okay?
Okay.
That's why I'm here. I'm the endless supply of money.
Of life. Wow. Jolly. Life and sunshine, huh?
There you go.
You got it.
We give our best to Les, okay?
Right. Okay, I will. And you all take care. And, Buzz, I hope you are.
Thank you. Yes, I am. No, I'm doing great. Thank you.
Big Frida. Now, you're not going to hear this until it's on the radio later today in Ocean City.
That's right.
But just let me ask you something. Let's say that I was out with Frida and Mike O'Mara.
Uh-huh.
And Frida was giving Mike the business. And Mike said to her, Frida, shut the F up. Would you not think that it would be my place to say to Mike, even if Frida was giving him a ration that he deserved, but in this case didn't deserve, wouldn't it be the proper thing?
You just left yourself an out there.
Wouldn't it be the chivalrous thing to do to say, no one speaks to my wife like that? Is that not what you would expect if you were out?
Yeah, I think I'd do that, but I sure would be disappointed in Frida if she thought she was going to be Ann Landers or something.
Well, she does think she's Ann Landers, but let me tell you what happened. Marcia, Buzz's wife, was giving some lip to Mike, and Mike said,
I am aware that Ann Landers is no longer with us, Ralph.
Mike said, hey, Marcia, shut the F up, and Buzz said nothing.
You're causing trouble here. You trying to start a fight between me and Buzz?
No.
Are you trying to start a fight between me and Buzz?
No, I'm not. I'm trying to just keep...
Every relationship is different.
See, Big Frida... Yeah, and Big Frida... Marcia was kidding with Mike, and they, for all intents and purposes, Mike was kidding with Marcia.
Yeah, not really, Buzz.
Mike, let's say you were.
Yeah, okay, yes, I was. Yeah, sure.
All right. All I know is that I've never let a friend of mine speak like that to your daughter.
You're very protective.
If I thought he was really serious and really, really angry, then I might have said something. Right. But it was just, I think it was all in good fun. Everybody was just busting on everybody else.
That's what I said. It was exactly that.
Really? Just busting on everybody else.
Everybody agrees, except for you, Don. I think you're out of the loop there.
He's just making trouble between me and Buzz.
Yeah. That's what I'm doing. All right, I'll talk to you later.
Okay, sweetie.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye, Big Frida.
Bye-bye. Here she goes. My mother-in-law.
Yeah, she's
you
great.
Have a wonderfully open and honest relationship with your mother-in-law, and I suppose that's based on the length of service that you've put into the family. It's weird that a son-in-law talks to the mother-in-law, and then I realized my brother-in-law has a great relationship, the man that's married to my sister, with my mom, and they've been married about a little longer than you've been married to your wife.
Sure, she is like my mom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my mom is a piece of ass, my real mom.
Mm-hmm.
So she's my mom.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Well, it's great. It's nothing greater than being able to call your mom, who in this case is my mother-in-law, and complain about my wife, her daughter.
It's a good relationship.
How does your wife handle that when you do that? I don't think she likes that a lot.
No, she doesn't.
In fact, she doesn't like that big time.
No, she hates
it. I remember that from previous experience. She doesn't like it. Multiply that by 10 when you do that on the radio.
Do what I do. Tell her you're just kidding.
Right.
Just kidding.
Yeah. I got to reckon. Tell them all to shut the F up. And then, you know what? You guys will be just like me, living in a home alone, sobbing like an infant. There you go.
All right, we got a break. That's the story of Mike telling Marcia to F off.
Yes.
Or shut the F up.
Close enough. However, I didn't throw in the little part. When I left the table, there was the kiss. Little kiss.
That's true.
Full on the lips.
Everybody happy.
Full on the lips when I left. Yeah. Full
really?
On the lips. Yep.
Little
yeah.
tongue?
Yeah, a little tongue.
Little tongue.
Tiny little bit.
Gotcha. See, they're friends.
There we go, friends.
Gotcha.
Boys enjoyed that.
You know, I'm really looking forward to the Christmas party.
Yeah, the one we're going to have this year?
I really am.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wonder who'll be there.
It'll be fun.
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gee whiz, gang. Looks like the killer gutted the victim, strangled him with his own intestines, and then dumped the body in the river. You're right, Scoob. We're dealing with one sick son of a bitch.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Right, right.
They can have coitus without bleeding. Don and Mike.
Thank you, Dennis. When does this thing kick in here?
La 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 la. La 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 la.
All right, here's the deal. The guy from Journey.
Yeah, Russ Valerie.
Yeah. Big fan of the show.
Yes.
We're going to call him now because we have the world premiere of the new Journey record.
Huh. What? What am I missing here?
It's funny. Really? The thing is, we gave a premiere and no one came.
Oh, yeah.
That really is what I'm thinking. That
right.
They overnighted us the copy. We have the world premiere of the new Journey record.
Uh-huh.
Now, we don't play records on our show.
Exactly. Is it Ross Valerie? It's
Ross Valerie.
What did I say? Ross?
Yeah, we just wanted to make sure we got it right before we got him on the phone.
Ross and Valerie.
It's exciting because it looks like he might have written the title on in Sharpie by himself.
And so it's right out of the studio.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I just put this thing in the machine and it's 7 minutes and 26 seconds long.
How is it?
I've not heard it.
You haven't heard it yet?
No.
7 minutes, it's an anthem.
All I know is that we don't play records.
Is this the real...
let's call him up and at least play a little bit of the new Journey song.
Yeah. All right.
There it is, right there. Then Ross Valerie from Journey.
The bass player.
Yeah. One of the original members. And this is Journey... Without Steve Perry now.
But a guy that sounds like Steve Perry.
Exactly.
This is exciting.
7 minutes long?
Yep. 7.5.
Wow. And so this has yet to be put out in print.
That's right. This would be and he wrote right on it. Don and Mike, world exclusive.
Very cool.
How long has it been since they had a new record?
When did this come in? He said.
Today. He answered.
Today. Yeah.
Journey will be in Baltimore on the 30th. Journey will be in Philadelphia on the 2nd.
Uh-huh.
In Des Moines, Iowa on the 9th of August.
Uh-huh.
In Lancaster, California on the 24th. And in Allentown, Pennsylvania on the 28th.
Very good.
Some tour dates for you.
Yeah.
All right. We now try to call Ross Valerie.
Very good.
Ringing, who was very high the last time he was on the show.
Hmm. Yeah, well, that's what everybody thinks. I don't agree.
What? Let me double check this number with Lisa. Three times it hasn't gone through.
Really?
Yeah.
You're sorry. Your call cannot be completed.
The Journey member you have called is no longer in service.
Right.
If you would like to call another Journey member, please wait, hang up, and dial again.
Is it the same number?
No, it's a different number.
Ah.
That was the problem, no?
Yes,
stand
no.
by now for the world premiere. 7.5 minutes long?
Yeah.
Imagine
we play 30 seconds of it.
Maybe it's like some kind of anthem or something, you know, where it has all different levels and, like,
big production.
Themes.
Like the Bohemian Rhapsody.
No? I don't know. Do you know, I worked at a radio station when that song came out. They said Bohemian Rhapsody at 5.5 minutes is too long.
Right.
So we cut it down to 2.5 minutes.
Oh. Well, what a great way to F up a record.
Really?
It was like it came on and it went, Mamma Mia, Mamma Mia. And the record's over.
When you hear their voice, you'll be on the air, okay? Hang on.
Oh, you got him?
Yeah, sounds good.
Rob, you could have been a little friendlier to him.
I was very friendly.
There we go. If he mentions last year's Journey concert, we both went to the concert, but didn't stay for the meet and greet.
So what? We're covering for a producer's lie? Is that what it is?
Well, whose birthday? I think it was near your birthday.
Right.
And the entire crowd sang happy birthday to you. He said, excuse me, Dynamite, you know, we've got them here today. And
that was a great moment.
And it's Mike's, or I don't know if it was Don's birthday, but in the entire audience sang happy birthday. So,
when was the concert last year?
I don't remember. I went with...
Was it in September?
I don't remember. I honestly don't remember.
Go back and check so we can find out whose birthday it was.
So we can say thank you. But he won't remember either.
Well, he was high.
They do a million concerts. He won't remember.
That's right.
that's what you love getting, right? Is there about to get a guy
lie for me?
A note. If he mentions last year's show, you both went to the concert, but didn't stay for the meet and greet after.
Now, last year they had a new CD, gave us the CD, and I actually liked it. I liked it a lot.
Sang happy birthday.
To one of us.
To one of us.
And give us a little help. You know, if we're going to have to do, you know, participate in this ruse.
It's easy to get confused with you two having the same birthday.
Yes,
as you do.
Yeah.
February, isn't it?
Twins. Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Twin sons of different mothers.
I'm Julius, your twin brother. And I say, sing happy birthday, Johnny. Oh, my.
I am so dying to tell you about Austin Powers.
I know. We're you know, and now
you don't know. You just said something.
Really?
That reminded me. Of Austin Powers.
Now it's everybody.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I know you wanted to wait, but I mean, it's me, Buzz, Rob, and Lisa all going tonight.
Beautiful.
Excellent.
Then we can all have a nice big circle, Jay, tomorrow, and we talk about it.
Fantastic. Well, they don't throw me out. Sometimes they do in theaters.
How tough is it to find out when the guy was on the show?
When I bring in the unopened container.
How tough is it?
Well, he wouldn't know because he does, you know, they don't know.
No, what I mean is, how tough is it for her?
I know.
Our producer?
I'm thinking September.
He won't even remember which of you had the birthday.
Yeah, you're right. We could cover it that way.
Yeah.
Thanks for singing happy birthday.
Right.
But I'd like to know, though.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's kind of a rush. I like that if one of us, you know. Are you like me, hoping it was you, and I'm hoping it was me?
Yeah.
Go with Don's
What's
birthday.
That? What, Lisa?
She said go with Don's birthday because you can't
birthday.
Find the information. Stationery store.
You won't remember.
Okay. All right. Here he is, everybody, from Journey. Ross,
hey
Ross.
Hey, Ross.
Hi, guys. How are you?
How you doing?
You're doing great.
Well, I'm doing fair to middling. As everyone expected, I was going to be there at your studio with you, and instead I'm at my home in San Francisco Bay Area. Had a good friend, a close friend of my wife's and mine, who passed away. So I flew back to New York to be with her and the family. I didn't quite get here in time to see our good friend Carol, but she was in good company and had quality time with everyone else. And, of course, I'm here to be with the family. And things are going as well as can be expected, but it's a little different than we all thought we were going to be doing today, guys.
Sorry to hear that, Ross.
I don't really want to put a damper on your show either.
This is a great way to start an interview.
That's right. But in any event, I really appreciate being able to do a phoner with you guys and miss the opportunity to be with you there.
The last time you were here, Ross, were you high?
Absolutely not.
You were not high?
I didn't think so.
No way. Just a lack of sleep will do the same thing.
There you go. Exact same thing.
All right.
That's the extra crispy mode, you know.
All right. See, there it is. Extra crispy.
The word.
He was overtired. That's what I said to you all.
Now it's been explained. And
Eddie Boop.
Let me see. In case you mentioned last year's show, we do want to thank you for singing Happy Birthday.
Absolutely, brother. I didn't get to see either one of you. I guess you were going to France the next morning, something like that.
Yeah, that's what Tom was doing.
You were going to Remoulac, France, maybe?
It's your birthday, though.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Remoulac.
So how are things going?
Well, things are going great with the band. We've been out since the 4th of July, and we're running all the way into October. It's a tour that's called the Under the Radar Tour, in which we're going to very few major metropolitan areas on this run.
Now, is that by design, or is that...
By design. It's sort of as though we're in an off-season, but not really. We're out doing gigs in areas where people were a bit far from the major areas to come to the show last year. So we're covering for all those fans who figured it was maybe too far to drive or travel, and we're doing well. We're doing state fairs and festivals and a few amphitheaters.
Very grassroots-ish.
Here in Baltimore. And we're doing casinos, too.
Well, that's big money, isn't it?
It's a very good, well-set-up tour, and it's not like Follow the Dots, because we're jumping all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the single I have here, which I understand is a premiere for us and for everybody on the radio.
That's right.
It's 7.5 goddamn minutes long.
Well, that's the unedited version, brother.
Is that it? Now, is this, so when I hear 7.5 minutes, is this like a rock anthem?
Well, it's got a major intro to it. You're talking about State of Grace, right?
I don't even know what it's called, right? We just got the CD.
Yes, that's it.
Well, let me describe what you're looking at there in view of the fact that I had to change plans to come out here. I made sure that the four-song EP, as we would call it, was sent to you. And
yes, we have it.
You're saying you get the first shot at playing the music for the nation.
Wow.
Last year, we had a mutual dissolution with our record label, Sony, and we're very happy to be on our own. So we're producing music on our own. We're producing it ourselves and releasing it by way of our website, JourneyMusic.com.
Sad.
And as of next week, it'll be available at all the shows that we're going to be doing this summer.
But a friend.
And our merchandise.
Which is why I'm saying this behind the scenes.
Well, probably.
Where he can't hear me.
Deal as good things friend. Work out well. But
he could be jollier.
On our own, and we're playing music that we want to play, and hopefully the fans will like, as opposed to having to filter it through the...
The Japanese, Sony.
Oh, yeah, whatever. Just through any record label that thinks...
It's... All right, well, let's throw it on. Let's throw it on.
You guys.
Here now, State of Grace, world premiere.
All right.
Journey.
I'll see you in my dreams.
Not
I'll see you in my dreams.
There's no guitar. Ross, this doesn't sound right.
That wasn't it?
State of Grace should be the first cut.
First cut.
Try the first cut.
All right, here we go.
Well, I don't know why I love you like I do. Oh, I don't know why, but I do. Why do you know why I love you like I do?
Ross, is that you singing?
La, 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 romance. It goes the world we're us again.
Ross, I don't think that's Ross singing.
No, that's Mike.
All right.
I can't. All right, here we go.
Are you high, Mike?
No, I'm not. Of course not.
All right, really? Here is Journey.
Well, he's a right-time cowboy. Right-time cowboy. I'm talking about the right-time cowboy, Joe.
Stop playing that.
That's all.
Me.
Yeah, I know. This is not a funny joke.
Different CD.
All right.
Oh, here's the right one.
Sounds good.
I didn't get either, pal.
That's Yoko Ono. That is Yoko Ono. Get the CD right.
A Yoko Ono.
Ross, I guarantee this would be a lot funnier if you were here in the studio with us.
Listen,
it's just not the same.
Yoko Ono, it was some other guy, some old guy in a trailer park.
Right.
Here now, without further ado, world premiere.
Without further delay.
Journey.
It's raining.
No.
Hallelujah.
No.
not it either?
No, you've got it wrong. I don't think you... Ross, you haven't done a cover of It's Raining Men, have you?
Not recently. I think you guys are getting even because I'm not there.
No, we're having fun.
No.
We do this around with everybody.
No, I'm goofing.
The point of the matter is I've never heard any, you know, music other than parody music on your show, except I was there with you.
That's right. Exactly.
So, it's to be expected.
We're kind of doing what our audience expects
us
to do.
What they want.
I guarantee you, sometime within the half hour, you are going to hear the Journey record.
All right, hold on. All right, I certainly don't want you to
experience through our...
Earlier here, John.
Here we go.
He's working
here now.
I got the
CD.
Found it.
All right, here's the CD.
I've got it.
Forget about it.
He's putting the CD in the machine. I'm watching him right now.
I don't believe you.
What does it say?
It says...
Mr. Rogers.
It says Journey.
Journey.
Reb 13.
Reb 13 is the name of the little EP.
Ah, all right, here we go.
Give me a symphony here.
There you go. It's happening for the world premiere, world exclusive.
Drum roll on everything.
Here you go.
Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen.
That's about to be a nice smoke break, Mike.
It's the first time ever on the Don and Mike Show. The world premiere.
7.5 minutes, Joe.
Long version. State of Grace. Journey. Yeah, I like it already.
I like it.
Pretty,
sounds different. It sounds different than their other stuff.
Think of me, babe, whenever. Sweet talking girl comes along. Singing a song.
Yeah.
Don't miss
who needs Steve Perry, man?
Play for the hook.
Cause I really love you. Stop thinking of you.
Oh, don't get better than this.
No.
Keep us together.
Now, Ross, obviously the band's going in a new direction.
Yes, absolutely new.
The new singer's great.
Well, what do you think? We had to sort of get a little operation.
All right. This is not funny, is it?
Well, you know, who is your daddy?
Who played that?
Where'd that come from? Where was that? Where'd that come from?
The Bush is there.
That is great.
Well, if you go to deadghost.com, you got a whole player for Arnold, and you got a whole player for Al Pacino, and it's something like this. Okay, here
we go.
All right, here it is.
Duncan, we got a break. World premiere. Journey.
Red Thursday.
State of Grace.
Oh, no.
He's not even noticing. He's playing his own thing. I like it. You hear a journey.
Parted the other night.
This is
what takes me breath.
That's not it. Now that's Rick Dees.
There are times when you have to have fresh breath.
There he is.
You're right.
Oh, God.
That's not. Okay. Here it is.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Journey. I like it.
The young lover came to front porch swine. Boy, I told him early, make him bother the rhyme. Hoping one day soon that baby will.
Yes,
we are.
She said, fine, but I watched that ear. He whispered pretty love words in my ear. So he took
I'm glad Ross knows the show.
Well, here's Journey.
Gomer says,
hey, Gomer says,
hey.
When did Jim Nabors start fronting the band, Ross?
Well, you know, we didn't want anybody to know, but we did audition him.
Okay.
He didn't make it.
Now we're out of time.
Yeah, we are.
So,
I'm
going to play as much of this as I can.
They're screwing hundreds of records being brought into the studio now.
That's right. Everybody wants Don and Mike to premiere their album.
That's right.
Journey. What the hell is this?
What the hell are you playing?
Theme to Angie. Donna Pascal.
Jesus Christ. We're going deep now.
All right, enough of that. Here it is, really. Now, this is, no kidding, this is it. This is it, correct, Ross?
That's it.
All
right, crank it up.
Away, sweet, sweet. Okay, you're walking on down the street. Now, I feel very confidentially. Hey, she's just casting eyes her direction. Oh, me, oh, my, oh, what professional I really
see. Come on,
I want to hear it. Okay, you're walking on down the street.
You're hearing
it. Now, I feel very confidentially. Hey, she's sweet.
You're hearing it. This is it.
Bye-bye, Blackbird.
I know that sparrow in the sea, stop, sparrow in the sea, stop, scared of home, gun to Dali. Oh, sparrow in the sea, stop, sparrow in the sea,
I'm not doing that wrong.
Scared of home, gun to Dali.
Oh, that was
great. How long did that have? Did you say how far? 10 minutes, huh?
Hello, an intro. God damn. Must be where it really starts. Seven on a record.
Yeah, well, you know, what we're going to have for radio or for other performances will be a version that's down to about 4.5 minutes. What you heard in the beginning was the intro, actually for the show as well.
Huh. Oh, really? When you're touring, that's how you start it? That's good.
You were going to be there tomorrow night. You're going to be
in Philly. Is there more Neil Shaw on this?
Definitely.
Pretty strong, Ross. Journey, everybody. Standing
great. Man, that is, I love that. Great. That is really fantastic.
And,
Yes, it's two of the four songs are definitely guitar songs.
Wait, give me another one. I got five here. Give me another one.
Well, Jonathan's choice would be Walking Away from the Edge.
Cut three.
Walking Away from the Edge.
All right, a little more.
It's only a 12-minute song. No reason.
6 minutes and 14 seconds.
So these are all unedited. They're going to chop them down and, for very airplay.
Journey. You got me. You got me. I thought you were going to really play it. I was into it. This rocks.
You're a bad man.
World exclusive Don and Mike show. Here's Journey. The marching band came down on the main street. The blues fell in behind. I didn't turn from there. I saw Billy waiting to go rejoin. I played like 5 minutes of the real record. Right? With the head upon his shoulder. Now, who wrote this one, Ross?
thing we should live without.
He's playing his tape.
I saw she was crying.
That's good. Okay. All right. Listen. Hello. Hello. All right. Ross Ellery. Journey.
Yes, we wrote this one with Trini Lopez, actually.
www.journeymusic.com. The song that we'd really played was really quite excellent. Yes, no BS.
No, thank you.
It was fantastic.
Well,
and,
not at first, brother, even though, you know, you could... You tore it apart, but you...
I played the actual song.
Right, absolutely.
For as long as I can play a real song on the show.
Right, and I appreciate that, because you never do that for anybody else.
No, no, absolutely not. No way.
We don't.
So you guys are going up to Philly to do a show tomorrow, then?
Yes, we are. We'll be at WYSP in Philadelphia tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Correct.
Well, it looks like the only people that are going to be able to come from your group would be some... distant relative of lovely Lisa's.
There you go. And they'll have a great time, I'm sure.
You guys will be in.
I appreciate you guys coming to the show. I know you guys had to take off, but Lisa brought Dennis back. He gave me his Christmas album.
Oh, my God. Is that a
left it on the bus. Can you give me another copy?
He left it on the bus. I can't imagine why.
I need another copy because, you know, I was really sort of feeling lacking at Christmas time without his
help. I know, it's a fan favorite.
Listen, everybody in Baltimore, it's tomorrow night, Pier 6 Pavilion, Journey in Baltimore.
Yeah, they are fantastic. Yeah, I mean, they really still sound fantastic.
Sound just like they did before. Mm-hmm. And Ross?
It's even better this round. You know, we've had a little practice. It's an evening with everybody, and we'll be playing by ourselves starting at 8 o'clock and get there at 6:30. And as I was telling Don and Mike earlier, we're rolling all over the country, and you can find out where we're going to be by going to journeymusic.com.
Fantastic.
We thank you. Next time you get close, come back in the studio.
Oh, if I get close, I'm going to get close, Don.
And as we end the segment, let's go to cut number two, the time.
He's going to do it.
By Journey. It's a brand new Journey album.
Goodbye to you, my trusted friend.
I hate that song.
Seasons on the Sun.
I do. I truly hate that song. Turn it off. It's making me sick. It's making me ill.
What, Ross?
$6,000.
All right, we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
ABC.
Right, we got to go. Bye, Ross.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Ross. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye. Bye. There he goes. Ross Valerie of Journey.
Yeah, now you're just torturing me.
Well, it's got to go to the hook.
Oh, God.
People know what a bad song it is.
Well, I knew that in the first 5 seconds.
Ladies and gentlemen,
think of me.
Ross Valerie and Journey.
We had joy, we had fun, we had seasons in the sun, but the hills
that
were
crying. Retard's anthem. Thanks, Ross.
That's more music than we played on this show in about 10 years.
There he goes. All right. Well, at least we'll make sure he's cool with that.
I'll be fine. Yeah. I'll
yeah. That was good.
It might be him calling in right now. What the F was that old?
Nope. Hold on, Mike.
Huh?
Line number two. Neil Sean. Huh? The other guy from Journey.
Huh?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, guys.
You didn't get me on that.
I know, I didn't get
you. We were in the mode of playing the music.
Hi, guys.
Hi, how's the tour with Journey going?
Good.
What are you going to be opening up with?
We're going to be opening with Molly Hatchet.
Well, they're playing on the same bill with you?
Yes, they are.
Tom, can you spell Journey?
J-O-N-N-I-C-E-Y.
Correct.
Jonesy.
Are you wearing your rubber band right now?
No, I'm not. I'm being good today.
How's your anger management coming, Tom?
Good.
Good. How's that prick friend of yours, John Stevens?
I haven't talked to him yet.
Good.
Because he's a good guy.
No, he's a prick, Tom.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
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 Watch it! Ha ha!
Tom, how do you spell prick?
P-A-R-C-K.
Park. Spell congressman.
C-O-N-T.
C-O-N-V-E-N-T-E-R.
Inventor.
And, Tom, let me ask you something, being as you are a friend of John Stevens, the guy who's running for U.S. Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you backing his campaign? Because you were named in the newspaper as one of his friends. Tom, why are you backing John Stevens for United States Congress?
Because I hate Frank Wolf.
Why?
Why?
Because he's not doing anything for the handicapped or disabled people. Because I just wanted to see if the U.S. Congress can do some stuff for us, for the Section 8. And
someone has been prepped.
I just wanted to see if my buddy John Stevens can help us out.
And what's John going to do?
He's going to see if we can get some more money for the people, like for Section 8. And
well, maybe you can sell some more of your T-shirts to raise money.
To raise some more money.
Was it Klinger's Section 8?
Yeah. Section 8 is the...
I think we know what Section 8 is.
You want to dress like a woman to get out of the Army?
No, it's not. Now, Section 8 is for...
And where I normally park at Reagan National Airport.
Watch it.
Hey, you want to talk dirty, Tom?
No. Who's on the line?
Hi, Tom.
Hello.
You talk dirty to me, Tom?
Who's this?
My name is Alicia.
No, it's not. Stop it.
Talk dirty to me, Tom.
Hey, Charlie.
No, Tom, talk dirty.
Tom, we got a break. Really, all right. We're running late. Goodbye.
He's gone. I have to tell him twice. You know, John Stevens is like ruining Tom.
Yeah. All I know is that
he's ruining Tom.
We ask Tom to spell prick. Uh-huh. We ask him to spell journey. Uh-huh. We end up with like Mr. McZipolix.
Yeah.
And then you say one thing, why are you voting for this guy for Congress? And all of a sudden it's all prepared. Yeah, because Frank Wolf doesn't do anything to help the handicapped people.
Exactly.
Jesus Christ. That will lead right into the next segment, probably the article about us in the grocery store newspaper.
Yeah, where they're taking on us.
Over the weekend. We will do that in a second. And Ross Valerie, JourneyMusic.com. Thank you, Ross. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Why do you get mixed up with that bitch?
Because she got a great ass. And you got your head all the way up it.
Jesus.
Ferocious, aren't I? When I think of asses, woman's ass, something comes out of me.
The Don and Mike Show. God created them because he was disappointed in monkeys. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
On our way to Philly after the show today, we'll be doing four shows. Maybe 4 days, three shows from WYSP in Philadelphia. And if you are among the first two people to show up tomorrow at WYSP, we'll invite you to the studio to play the Match Game 2002.
Match Game is always a blast, and you are invited, so get there early.
All right, now, as briefly as humanly possible, let me bring you up to date with the dum-dum who's running for Congress and the grocery store newspaper that insists on continuing to write these stories about us.
Yeah, I don't get this.
And, Rob, would you, or maybe in the back room, they can find a phone number for Daniel Drew at the Potomac News.
Is that the same guy?
Different guy.
Who was the other guy, the other day?
Newman.
Chris Newman.
Newman.
And he said
hello,
at the time,
Newman,
that the story would be turned over to another reporter.
Another senior reporter.
It has been.
Senior. So,
what did this guy do to us?
Let me just read you the story. I'm not even going to give you any background on what's happened.
Dive right in.
If you don't know by now, well, that's your penalty for not listening to the show 4 hours every
Amen.
Day.
Amen. Sure. We're having a little feud.
Headline, Don and Mike strike back. Don and Mike, host of nationally syndicated radio show, lambasted Democrat John Stevens and Potomac News reporter Chris Newman on Friday, the day a story ran about Stevens' purchase of domain names associated with the Don and Mike show. Newman's story dealt with the attacks the host made against the 10th District congressional candidate. Stevens said Friday, it was not a controversy. and there are more important issues to discuss. He said he did not listen to Friday's live show, during which Newman spoke with the radio hosts. Don and Mike claim that many of the domain names that have anything to do with the Don and Mike show were purchased by the 33-year-old Loudon software developer so he could later sell these internet addresses to Infinity Broadcasting. Here's problem number one. This is not about domain names.
Mm-hmm.
Problem number two, as you're reading the story, Geronimo and Omera claim...
Yeah.
Many of the domain names have been purchased by this guy.
Right.
It's not a claim. It's a fact.
If you research it, you know it's a fact. If you don't research it, and you listen to...
Hold on. Let me finish the paragraph.
All right.
Because he contradicts himself. Geronimo and Omera claim that many of the domain names were purchased by the... Blah, 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 blah. The addresses owned by Stevens include... www.donandmike.com, www.donandmikefans.com, www.browseburbank.com, and it goes on and on.
So they claim. Why do they keep saying claim?
Well, it's a fact that he does.
Mm-hmm.
Stevens would not say as to whether he would sell the domain names to Infinity Broadcasting or not. He said neither Infinity nor Don and Mike have ever contacted him about purchasing the domain names.
Which is what he wanted.
And here's the quote now from your next congressman. I wouldn't speculate on something that could be as realistic as what I would do if a Martian landed in my yard this afternoon and he asked for the domain names. Stevens said.
What does that mean?
Stevens said he purchased the names to train employees in web development because the Don Mike show would attract the public interest. Here's another quote from him.
Slippery.
The nature of databases is that they need users to interact with them. People want to be involved with the radio show because it's interactive. That seemed like a natural target for users. The hosts were also angry about a story that was posted on one of Stevens' websites. The story, which was framed in a Washington Post webpage, said Geronimo is dead. Stevens said the story was a joke written by someone associated with his company.
Oh, now he doesn't claim authorship.
And here's his quote. I didn't write the story. My website carried the story. I take responsibility for it. It's so trivially unimportant as to be laughable,
ooh,
Stevens said. A volunteer for the site and a fan of the show wrote it. Stevens says he does not remember whose idea the story was.
Man, well, you know, go ahead and deny. Maybe we have to pry a little bit more. Okay.
Here's another
quote to my friend Raymond Diaz.
Here's another quote from Stevens. I can't remember who came up with the idea. It was so unbelievably irrelevant, he said. Stevens and many fans of the show found the story funny because of a running joke on the show about Geronimo having a brain tumor. Now, you might remember that the reason that there was a joke about me having a brain tumor was... Someone had gotten on his website previous to this and had written an account of how I was in the hospital
with a brain tumor. Yeah, it originated from his website again. Right.
Geronimo said on the air Friday he thought the story was terrible and his attorneys contacted Stevens regarding the matter. Stevens said that although he did receive calls from Washington Post and Infinity Broadcasting attorneys, he did not hear from Geronimo's personal lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
That is a lie.
Okay.
The man's name is Douglas Wallachian.
Mm-hmm.
You spoke to Douglas Wallachian.
Right.
I know because I paid the bill
for
the phone call.
Right.
The man's name is Doug Wallachian.
There you go.
That is a lie. The fake story that the hosts call a hoax and Stephen calls a joke was not available to the Potomac News as of Friday evening.
Oh, man.
In response to Newman's question on the air about whether the two hosts had any dealings with Stevens, Geronimo said, my direct dealings would be getting calls in Florida when I was on vacation, people calling my wife saying I heard on the news your husband is dead. And then they have a quote from you, Mike, saying when the relationship really went south was when he printed the fake obituary, the fake death story. I had one conversation with him personally where he came across as someone who was not really a fan of our show. Stevens said he has never had any personal contact with either host.
He's lying.
Mm.
I spoke to him personally about putting information about my band on the website. Mm. And I have a witness who was standing next to us who would corroborate that. So that is another lie.
Don and Mike accused Newman of poor journalism and said the Potomac News is not a real paper during Friday's program. They also used derogatory terms to describe Newman. They said he didn't bother to ascertain their point of view in his reporting, and he did not quote them. Newman's story did quote from the July 16 show.
Right. Okay.
Geronimo asked Newman on the air Friday why he would present a one-sided story. Why would you write a story in which there are two sides but only speak to one side, he said. Why would you only get quotes from one side of the story? O'Mara agreed. Give us a call. We'll answer any question you have. Neither Geronimo or O'Mara returned calls to the Potomac News on Friday afternoon. End of story.
God.
Now.
What time did you get in your car?
About the same time as you, about 6:15.
Yeah. It was after the deadline. So he had an afternoon deadline.
I didn't even get
the call. We were on the golf course.
I got a call from Lisa that was on.
That's when I got a call.
The message on my cell phone,
right,
saying this guy called. A few things just to get straight for the last time. If you want to get someone's reaction to a story, you don't call at 4:45 on Friday afternoon.
You do if you are trying not to get a response. If you're trying to make us look bad, as they were, by quoting us saying, call us anytime, and then saying we didn't return calls. Well,
now,
the deadline, the way... Lisa, can you come in here? Because you spoke, I believe, to one of these reporters. And what did he say?
To this guy, did.
Because on your message, you said to me he had it. What was his deadline? Because I, the way...
4:30 deadline. And he called me at maybe like 10 till 4. And there was a message. So when I got his message, I called you guys and left a message. He called me back and I said, they're out of the office.
So he called Lisa at 10 to 4. He had a 4:30 deadline, which Lisa communicated to both of us on the messages. And we were basically on the second hole. And not in touch with anybody.
Now,
give us a fair chance to get back to you.
There are a couple of issues here. First, really our whole complaint, or at least my thought about this, is not what he did to me with this fake story of me dying, or that he's an internet squatter. My whole point in bringing all of this to your attention is this douchebag is running for Congress.
That's what we have an issue with.
Okay? Say what you will about me or about Mike or about our radio show. We're not running for public office.
No, we're not.
And we're not holding ourselves out there to say...
As a candidate of a major party.
Right. We're the example of someone who wants to representing you in the House of Congress.
Now, granted, he is what they call a token candidate, where he is not going to win. I mean, he's running against a very powerful incumbent who never gets beaten. But it's still ridiculous that the powers that be, if there are any, and I wonder who's running the Democratic Party in Northern Virginia, to let a guy like this in, it just seems to me ludicrous. Because the guy has had many dealings with people we know and with us, and he doesn't claim that he's ever met me, but I've met him. I remember meeting him. And it just... This doesn't make any sense. This disturbs me, and it disturbs Don, and that's why we have been talking the way we have been talking.
Now, hold on, lady. Give me a second here. So I'm gonna pull something up real fast.
It's an obvious hatchet job. I mean,
the newspaper obviously
is caught up with us as opposed to a congressional candidate.
Yeah, they're fascinated.
They don't seem to really care about the fact that this guy's running because they much rather take a shot at us and, sure, you know, call us with a half an hour before their deadline when we're unreachable, when they could have called us all day on Friday if they wanted to.
This is much easier for them.
Mm-hmm. Or they certainly could have waited until this morning.
Well, I know the whole thing Donna might claim, and then in the same breath say, here are the websites that he owns.
Right.
I mean, I don't understand this, but it is a small, you know, tiny newspaper, and it's silly.
He called 40 minutes to deadline when he knew you'd be out golfing, when he knew you'd be out of the office.
Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. I don't know. The fact is that, you know, I have a degree in broadcast journalism, and we are told that, you know, technically that's what you have to do.
Yeah.
That's all he has to do, and then he can write in this little story. It's a hatchet job.
Give me a second.
You can write that, you know, we didn't return phone calls. Well, we didn't return a phone call
at the end of business day on Friday within a basically a half-hour window.
Right.
And that, to me, is really something that's what I take issue with. First of all, why they're focusing on us. And secondly, you know, obviously these reporters have tremendous access to Mr. Stevens,
mm-hmm.
but give us a brief window. And we talk to them on the air, and they could call us on the air, or we could call them on the air.
It sells papers, and it's not a lot of work for them. That's what I see so far.
I can't pull it up.
What are you trying to get?
Well, what I was trying to get was just to prove my point about this fake story, which he's claiming was a joke and irrelevant.
Right.
What I'm trying to pull up, and I can't seem to get it off, I can't get into my AOL account, is, and I saved it, Radio and Records, which is, I mean, we goof on it all the time, but it is the industry newspaper.
Absolutely.
For the radio industry.
Mm-hmm.
It was a headline
mm-hmm.
that I was not dead, that it had been reported that I was dead,
right.
And the Radio and Records story that I'm looking for, and if anybody out there has it, fax it in, goes into great detail saying that not only did this guy perpetuate this thing, but that he had stolen the font from the Washington Post
mm-hmm.
and stolen their webpage, including advertisements.
We might want to dig a little deeper, because I am familiar vaguely with an exchange that happened between this individual, Mr. Stevens, and one of our lawyers. Do you remember that? Do you remember that story? That there was a little something that went on. I want to find out what the details of that were, because there was something weird about it. And once we find out the facts, we can pass that along. But apparently it was something, a communication that he had with one of the lawyers. After he was contacted by the Infinity lawyers, apparently he... Do you remember that?
Yeah.
He called up, and I don't remember the specifics of it.
You're right.
Something hinky happened, and I want to find out exactly what that is.
And the claim here, and this is a claim, unlike what they're writing in the newspaper, the claim is a lowlife like this running for U.S. Congress is a joke. It's a joke.
Yeah, that's our opinion, and we're standing by it.
And for the Potomac News... You know, and I stand by that as well. Not even a real newspaper. You know, you should be ashamed of yourselves. And I would now try to call the latest journalism school dropout to see what he has to say about what he's written in the newspaper.
Yeah, and what the issue we take with him is this, you know, we didn't get back to him. Because we told he had a 4:30 deadline.
Daniel Drew, please.
I got my message at about 6:15, 6:30.
Thank you.
So when you hear somebody's got a deadline, you got to call them before 4:30. You don't call. That's why.
Amazing. I've never seen anything like this.
Strange. But, you know, get to work. And I want to tell this guy, get to work. You take a good, hard look at your congressional candidate. That's what I want.
And really, Stevens never heard from my lawyer? His name is Douglas Wallison.
He's my lawyer, too.
Getting the voicemail.
Yeah, F it.
Please redial the number you are calling. Area code.
He's getting the stupid voicemail. Anyway, the whole issue with this guy, John Stevens, is not about him writing the fake story about me.
Right.
It's not about him being an internet squatter.
Mm-hmm.
It's about who runs for Congress.
Absolutely.
And anybody looking at this would say, this guy ain't congressional material.
So, yeah, that's the way I look at it. And I just, I really hope they, first of all, he talks a lot, he likes to make a big deal in his quotes about the irrelevance of us. Well, I got news for you. The argument that could be made by some people in that district would say he's irrelevant, which he is, based on his prospects. But you know what? He's still a congressional candidate of a major party, and I think they ought to know about that. And I just hope that the right people are paying attention to this and just knowing what they got here. They got kind of a weird guy.
And I think we should add that we tried to contact the Potomac News, but they were unavailable for comment.
There you go.
Anyway, so, you know, the thing continues to grow hair, and the guy's not going to win the election.
Right.
The guy's not going to get a vote in the election. But the fact that he's continuing to try to milk this and feed this bull ass to the newspaper That is now starting to piss me off.
Well, it pisses me off when he claims that your lawyer didn't contact him, which he did. I remember when you had the discussion with Doug about it. I think it was in the office when you called Doug.
Yeah, I paid for it.
And I resent the fact that the guy claims he's never met either one of us. I know he hasn't met you, but he met me. He met me at a bowling alley. You know what, Tay? Did he meet you that night? Have you ever met him?
One time.
One time. We both met him.
And I also am offended that it's so trivially important as to be laughable. Again, to get to the story about me being dead.
Although it wasn't laughable I won't say laughable because obviously he's calling it a joke. It wasn't trivial to him when he went on this campaign to pull off this hoax. As a matter of fact, it was a very significant part of his website. And, you know, now he's trying to...
Hold on, now I'm getting out. Lisa, tell me what I'm getting here because I don't even know what this is. This is from that girl from California?
Yeah, it's just something I found it on the internet, a conversation between Stevens and somebody else. That's on the internet somewhere.
All right, so this is an online conversation,
mm-hmm.
allegedly between this guy, John Stevens, and A.J. Dury.
Okay.
Okay? So, Stevens says... Everything about DonAndMikeFans.com content, programming, domain names are for sale. AJ Dury says for sale. How does that work? John Stevens says, it works by somebody giving me a truckload of money, and then I send them a CD. Then the other person writes, remember, I'm the biggest umdum when it comes to computer stuff. Aha, you have no problem with that. This is the same person again. Do you need the money or just want it? Steven says, you are the Don and Mike go-to girl on the internet. Don't play dum-dum with me. She writes back, well, yeah, I am the go-to girl for stuff like that. I'm an idiot savant. Stevens writes back, I make a living, but the fact is, what I have is valuable. And I spent incredible amounts of time and money putting it together. So I'm not just going to hand it off.
Mm-hmm. So that answers the question about how trivial we are. And how trivial the domain names and DonAndMikeFans.com. And
all that stuff.
You know,
and again, when you get past all of that...
We don't get, normally, we're not even thinking about this.
Until
the guy runs for Congress.
He's running for Congress.
Right. That's all. That's why it matters. That's why it matters. Mm-hmm. And not that we're trying to do any public service. We are just saying, you know, what is the deal?
What's going on there?
Because, you know, for a long time when we found out, I'll never forget the first time we found out that this guy bought up all these domain names. We just thought, first thing we thought, stalker.
Right.
Thought it was a little weird. And then we found out the guy was trying to make money off of it. And, you know, and no one, to the best of my knowledge, anyone close to him, has ever gotten to the bottom of what his financial situation was regarding our website. And how much money he was actually making.
And once again, I have to say, Potomac News is a joke. That's a joke.
That's the joke.
You should take the word news out of your header. It should just be Potomac.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no news here.
Because it belongs in the bottom of the river.
Bottom of the river. So that's the latest on the guy who's running for Congress. Man, and I know. God.
I would tell everybody at the Potomac News, you know, enough with the Don and Mike. You know, we are easy because you can listen to the radio. You can quote us when we're making our big statements on the radio. If you really want to serve your community and do what you're supposed to do.
Look into this guy's background a little bit.
If you're going to be a community newspaper, look into that.
Look into that.
Because, I mean, I'd like to know. I would like to know as somebody that lives in Northern Virginia and is in the district, I would like to know exactly what this guy's really about because I still don't. I'd like to know all the real details. I only formulate my opinion based on some hinky stuff he's done around our show.
Anyway, the guy's just a lion singing douchebag. And if you've got any problem with that, call my lawyer, Stevens. His name is Doug Wallachian. I won't give you the number because I know you have it.
There you go.
From when you spoke to him.
Mm-hmm.
Of what you lied about in the newspaper.
Right.
That's what I claim.
Mm-hmm.
I claim that you are a low-life scum bucket. I claim that you are not worthy of being dog catcher, much less a congressman. I claim you're scum. I spit on you.
Patooey.
Guys like you come out of my stool. I'm serious. I got more respect for a piece of corn in my BM than I do for you, Stevens.
Hey, help me. I'm in my stool.
Okay.
Help me. Help me.
Bastard. And I know people are calling now saying, oh, you're giving him more publicity. Listen, this guy's not going to get voted into anything.
No.
He's not going to get voted into anything.
Time to take a good hard look at the Democratic Party in this district. Though. Jesus Christ.
At least this grocery store newspaper should try to get the story right.
Mm-hmm.
Just try. And if you need to get a hold of us, try calling at 9 o'clock in the morning and try calling at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and at least do us the courtesy of giving us more than 40 minutes on a Friday afternoon to call you back to give you reaction. It's called common courtesy. It's called journalism.
Very good.
F you all. Off with your heads.
Well said.
Off with your heads. That's it.
Off with your heads. And then he rides away on his trusted steed.
Now, very rarely do I say this on the show, but I'm going to say it now.
Right.
If you have a child,
mm-hmm.
you might want to turn the radio up in the car for the next break.
Yes, very exciting.
You probably want to turn it down once we get into it.
Yeah. Good warning.
But at least for the setup,
right?
You want to call your kids because it's Harry Potter time.
Wonderful.
There's big Harry Potter news, and we'll be right back with it.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Nancy, I'm helping Hank winch a trailer. I'll see you for dinner.
Sorry, Shug. I get to anchor eyewitness weather tonight. There's high winds blowing. Might be a tornado. This could be the disaster I've been waiting for. So keep your fingers crossed.
Well, what about my supper?
I left the carton of cigarettes on the table.
I think I'll keep her.
The Don and Mike Show. Let's go surfing now.
God damn it. The Don and Mike Show.
We're probably not going to have time to get to it today. I know we're not going to have time today, but see what I got here? Hints from Heloise. Me and Robert pissed off at Heloise again.
Oh, no.
She's a good friend. You can't be too pissed off. She brought
chili
last time. We're going to have to bust her on tomorrow's show.
Well, I'm sure she's used to it. Your voice filled with hate for that woman.
Also tomorrow.
Rob really hates her. Rob actually hates her. Yeah, you hate her, show hater. But Rob didn't like her even when she came in. Wanted it to go badly. Wanted us really to have like a real fight with her.
I just hate her on the show. I think that the column is goofy.
And you thought it was cool that she came in here.
Absolutely.
And Rob was still like when she came in here the day she came in here. Rob was still shaking his head, filled with rage and hate for her. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, what it is I really do with great joy run to her column when I read the paper every day because I know there's going to be something there to piss me off.
Oh, pretty lady.
It's a queer duality.
I'll tell you joy. You know what joy is?
What's that?
Joy is coming this Saturday.
Oh.
Joy is coming Saturday. And Joy will be with me for 6 months.
Oh, football.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You're
thank
sport.
You, Jesus. Every year it starts earlier and earlier.
And it's going to be right there for us when the baseball players go on strike.
And it's such a beautiful thing that you're going to have, you know, people say that the exhibition games are meaningless, and they are, and that they're a waste of money, and they are, which is why I watch them on television. I don't go pay to see them.
Right.
I give away my Redskins exhibition tickets.
Wow.
You know, that's how they get you, incidentally.
What's that?
That when you buy season tickets, you got to buy the exhibition games.
You still have to spend extra.
Right. Yeah. But I watch it because I love football.
Mm-hmm.
And they, what?
I was thinking about you because, you know, I got that fancy new HD TV, and it's high-definition television. There are only three channels that you can get when you get it, but one of them is called, I think, HDTV Net. It's the high-definition network.
Right.
And it's all high-definition stuff. And I was saying, man, you would have loved to be in my little room watching this TV. They had arena football on. And
I watched arena football yesterday.
And amazing. And you see, you know, because it's indoors and it's so bright. It was you would have loved that. I said you're the only person I know that like watches a whole game.
I watched yesterday. I watched the Carolina Cobras defeat the Grand Rapids Rampage.
That's an all passing game, isn't it? Very little running in that game.
Yeah, right. Well, the field is 50 yards long, about 30 yards wide.
It's a fascinating game.
Played on concrete, but thank you, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday night from Japan. You got the Redskins and the 49ers.
I'm not going.
Monday night, you got the first time John Madden's ever going to be on Monday Night Football.
I don't want to go.
With the Houston Texans and whoever they're playing.
See Dennis Miller take a swipe at Miller?
No, at Madden? What did he say?
It was just, it showed Al Michaels. His last picture was, it was a very tame thing, but it was a shot at Monday Night Football. A picture of Al Michaels sitting next to John Madden, and it was something. He made some kind of eclectic joke and said, "No, well, that Miller would understand, but he's not here anymore." Something like that. It was his little dig.
You know what's going to be weird? So anyway, I love it, and I love the fact that because it's exhibition, and because the starters go in and they play at best a quarter,
right?
And then you just see all the scrubs. There's so much of it on that virtually. The exhibition season, my wife hates the exhibition season more than she hates the regular season.
Sure.
Because the regular season, you know, it's all day Sunday and Monday night. Well, now I'm coming to her and I'm saying, okay, now, and I was setting her up for this. I said, I'm all for this being jolly thing and
right.
Spending quality time together, but
sure.
You know that football starts. I said, now, and I'm the type of geek, I got a magazine that has all the national games that are going to be on TV.
Right.
Even though I got the satellite, the DirecTV, so I get all the games on Sunday, I want to know how many exhibition games there are going to be on TV that I can see.
Mm-hmm.
There are, I think, 28 games that are available to me to watch between now and the opening day, which is like September 8th.
Of those 28, how many will you watch?
Every one.
Every single one. In its entirety?
If I do not watch it in its entirety, I TiVo it, and I watch it later.
That's why you'll get a head start with the Fantasy League when I come in not knowing who the players are.
Start Saturday. It's the best time of the year. 10 o'clock at night, Saturday night, Redskins and 49ers. Then you got the Monday night game. Then you got a Thursday night game.
So it's just John Madden and Al Michaels this year, right?
Yeah. And then as you go through the preseason, two, three, sometimes four nights a week, you're going to get football. And they come up with an even better idea to start the regular season. You know, the regular season always starts like on the Sunday after Labor Day.
Right.
This year, the regular season starts on a Thursday night.
Oh, so you get an extra bonus game.
Thursday night, opening game.
Saturday games, too?
Well, no, you get those in December.
Okay, so you don't get Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday for opening week.
And that would be fine with me.
Yeah. I heard there's Thursday for Monday through Sunday.
All I know is that this year, opening weekend really starts on Thursday.
Right.
Because it's a Thursday night game with the Giants and the 49ers.
Nationally televised.
Yeah, Christ, does it get better than that?
Giants and the Niners?
Yeah.
All right.
Does it get better than that?
No,
it doesn't. And I'm so pathetic that yesterday I'm watching the goddamn Carolina Cobras play the Grand Rapids Rampage. And if you ever want to see a bunch of losers move to Grand Rapids, Michigan. Now, I know that they got nothing in Grand Rapids.
Right.
So God love them that they got an Arena Football League team. But they're panning through the crowd. And these are just person for person some of the ugliest individuals that you would ever want to see. I am surprised that these people leave their homes, much less go out to be in public at the Grand Rapids Arena.
They
looked
like they were enjoying themselves.
Oh, they were having grand fun, except they were getting killed by the upstart Carolina Cobras.
Ah, the Cobras. They're a tough bunch.
The Carolina Cobras.
How'd those uniforms look?
They
got a Cobra on the helmet?
Yeah, and Cobra on the sides.
Yeah, I like that. I like the Cobras. What a great name for a team.
The Grand Rapids uniforms, they're just like Tampa
Bay. What are the Grand Rapids?
Grand Rapids, the Grand Rapids Rampage.
Oh, see. Yeah.
It's
right there. It's, what's the logo?
It's vague.
A little squiggly.
Right.
I don't know what the logo is.
See?
Exclamation mark.
What can you do for Rampage?
They didn't do a close-up of the helmet? The picture of Hall and Oates. It's Rampage. It's a passing game.
Anyway. Rage.
I'm beside myself. It's starting, and my wife's already getting mad.
Sure. I gotta believe you're excited.
I was watching the... Hey, Rob. I'm not hard or anything.
Yes.
I don't get hard.
He's serious about it. He just says that. You said that so matter-of-factly.
I don't get hard about football.
No. Yes, you do.
Oh, you know what I do, though?
I've seen you get hard.
You know what I do get hard about?
What's that?
Yesterday. And I am not being facetious. It has been, seriously, months since I've ordered a porno.
Right.
Huh? Yesterday, I went to channel 596.
Yes.
And clicked on, because I had a few moments by myself.
So you're not accustomed to the block.
No, you get all of the channels now.
They've improved the value.
For 4 hours.
They have improved the value.
You get the regular, you get like the Hot Network, you get Spice or whatever the hell it is, you get All Sex, you get the Playboy.
It's a block of, you can do your porno flipping now.
And what is great is, here's how I'm
sure they've improved their sales too since they offered that.
Oh yeah.
When I have this limited window of opportunity, to watch porno,
right?
Especially if it's during the day on a Sunday.
Sure.
My time is very limited. My kid, my wife leave the house.
Right.
I know that I got, you know, maybe I got 20 minutes.
That's when he fell down the stairs that one time. Struggling to get down the TV room. Pants around the ankle.
Small window. And I turned it on 596, and it was a really, really ugly guy having sex with two ugly girls.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
And I thought, you know what, I was going to spend the extra $10 and buy channel 597.
And then you go to get on the pay for it, and you realize it's there already?
I realize it's there. And then I read the box at the top of the screen that says, you know, that
adult block.
If you pay $10.99, then you get five channels.
That's cool.
So now I'm going between all five of the sex channels. And what I'm doing is I'm waiting for the right combination. I'm waiting for
something that strikes your fancy.
A good looking woman.
Right.
And I want it to be, I want to catch the porno right in the very beginning. I don't want to, no pun intended.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about.
I don't want to come in on this.
We are
halfway through.
We weren't always the same in watching porno, but I'm beginning to think that our viewing habits are, you like to see the whole process of the meat and the beginning, which is to me the best.
The undressing.
The build up. It's very bad if you come in and you get...
Yeah.
You know, if you come in on that, it's just like you feel like you're late to the party.
Exactly.
I don't want to see it go in and out.
Right.
I mean, I want to see that eventually.
I like to either come in at the very beginning or the very end.
So I'm going between all five channels. Now, I'm living in mortal fear that at any moment,
Chris,
you know, that the family's going to be back.
I'm wrong.
So I've got the dogs out in the foyer.
Oh, that scared me for a second there.
So I'm thinking,
I was going to say, where are those dogs?
I've got the dogs like my emergency because they will go. They go crazy when a squirrel runs by.
Honey, what are the dogs doing in here with you? And there's a jar of Skippy peanut butter on the cocktail table.
So I'm sitting in my chair. Pants around my ankles.
Oh, no, now more detail.
There we go.
No, and no, I don't want any more detail.
You don't take your pants off.
I don't want any detail. Well, I don't think it could be done other than that, but I just don't like hearing this.
I'm going back and forth and back and forth in these channels, and the thing is, I'm in like a...
You just wrecked it for me right there. I can no longer hear you talk about that.
I'm not really turgid, but I'm not Mr. Softy.
Right.
I'm like... half and half. La,
mm-hmm.
La, 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 la.
What is wrong? You're giving too much detail. It's grossing me out hearing you tell this detail.
I'm getting to a point.
No, I hope the point doesn't involve any more detail of your state.
So
pants around ankles and semi-turgid.
So finally, I get to one of the stations, and the thing is, I can't decide in my mind if I want to stay with, I'm on 594.
Yeah. Right.
What is a hot chick and... she's on the back of a truck, but it looks like all she's going to do is just take her clothes off.
Right. Yeah, so they, one of some of those channels, that's all they do.
Start working my man, I think. Well, no.
No.
I think there'll be something better. on another channel. So I changed the channel, and it's like...
You better not... I'm going to throw up if you keep putting all this detail in there.
It's like a crane. It's like it's up, down, up, down. It's like an elevator. I'm up, I'm down, I'm up, I'm down, I'm up, I'm down. Finally, I get on 597, and I get it right at the very beginning of a scene.
Well, they give you the adult block, but to be honest with you, 596 and 597 are the only real channels.
Those are your go-to channels.
Those are your go-to channels.
So we get to 597, and there is just a knockout. And it's right in the very beginning.
Right.
Where she's just sitting, pretending she's talking on the telephone, and I think, this is the part that Daddy wants.
Okay.
So now...
You better spare some detail here. I'm going to throw up.
No, stop! I don't want more detail.
I'm ready.
This is weird. This is you're doing this to get your rocks off here. You're kinky like this. This is kinky. No. You're giving us wet. This is like when you first time you ever said, "Hey, Rob, feel this."
No.
That's how I feel. It's making me yogi.
I want to tell you why I was disappointed.
I want to tell you.
Listen, no, I do want to tell you something. So. I'm waiting.
Now, just, you know, tell us why you were disappointed. But okay. Don't throw in the stuff about I'm working my man, please.
Because
please, God, don't do that anymore.
This beautiful woman whose clothes is talking on the telephone.
Yes, and then what happened?
And I'm working.
No! No!
I just said working.
All right.
Just answer
yes,
the
yes. Yeah, and then what happens in the movie?
And then in the movie, she hangs up the phone.
Right.
And she goes to the door, and I think, okay, working. Go to the door, ding dong. It's a guy in a clown suit. Now,
not good, not erotic.
She then has sex with a guy who's got the clown face on.
I may have seen that one.
And
it's not good.
I can't work it to that.
No, you can't.
I can't work it to that. And the girl was beautiful.
Right.
The problem is when they were just
worse than Herschel Savage.
When they would focus on, when they would just focus on her doing what she was doing,
right,
it was fine.
But he like had the makeup on and everything.
Yeah.
But what they
would
just say,
you would get the shot of this of her going, oh, and I'm like going, okay, all right, and then you get go up to the shot and it's crossing the clown's face, and he's going. Yeah, baby.
Yeah, nasty.
Do it, baby. And it was like...
Nothing going on there.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Sick.
Again, it was up, and it was down. Okay. And I ended up having to go to one of the lesser channels to get the job done.
Right. It's unfortunate.
And it was very sad. Very sad.
Another time, Brad. Okay.
Very sad.
A lot of detail that you normally don't throw in on those stories.
Well, I know we got a break.
It's necessary.
We got a break, and for goodness sakes, I started that segment by saying, have your children listen to the radio.
Now listen how horrible this is.
Now, kids, Harry Potter time, I promise. When we come right back, we'll be right back.
Keep laughing.
Wow.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mundus.
The most electrifying man in sports entertainment, Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
We start saying thank you to Philadelphia tomorrow when we do shows from WYSP.
Looking forward to going back up to Philly.
Tomorrow, I'll be one of the first two people to show up at YSP. You get to come in the studio and play Magic in 2002 with us.
All right.
Now, here's the Harry Potter news for your little kids.
Mm-hmm.
Harry Potter fans who need their fix can call. I have a phone number here to hear a birthday greeting from Harry Potter. Apparently, it's Harry Potter's birthday.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, hold on. It's a real number, 1-866-855-6708. You really want to call this with your kids?
Yes.
Thank you for calling the Listening Library Harry Potter phone line.
There we go.
In a moment, you'll hear Grammy Award winner Jim Dale reading a segment from Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone by J.K. Rowling. It's a great way to celebrate our favorite boy wizard's special day. Happy birthday, Harry Potter.
Hello?
Got disconnected there.
Oh, you got disconnected?
All right.
Hold on. Gotta go back to it. Sounds interesting.
Give me a second. God, I hope we don't have to sit through the stupid intro again. I
thank you for calling the Harry Potter birthday line.
Okay.
Now, Harry Potter will read a selection from Harry Potter Meets a Friend. When he offered me the drink, our fingers touched. There was incredible electricity. He sat on the lounge table beside me. My feet were up. We shared a small stool. As we watched the sunset, our feet were touching. The electricity was surging up my legs. I was on fire. I never drank wine so quickly in my life. When I finished, Andy gave me that smile again and asked if I wanted another drink.
You know, this doesn't sound like Harry Potter to me.
I told him no, not wanting him to move away from
me. It sounds like Colonel Potter from MASH.
You're right.
And it sounds like he's reading letters to Penthouse 4.
Perhaps something else I could resist no longer. I was smitten beyond belief with him. He had me under his spell and he knew it. My voice cracked and I could barely get out, "Just you." I kissed him. His lips were soft, warm, and welcoming.
Oh.
I had never been kissed like that before in my life.
Right.
Our tongues explored each other's mouths. No space was left uncovered. Ooh. Every time he touched a new spot, I quivered. He stopped and gave me that smile, that knowing, lovely smile. A bead of sweat dripped off my nose and onto my blouse, landing on my left nipple. Andy said, "Let me help you out of those wet things." I offered no resistance. He undid the buttons of my blouse. Yes, I was wearing a lovely pink blouse, ever so slightly touching both nipples. I thought I was going to scream. You're listening to the Harry Potter birthday line. Thanks for calling. And happy birthday, Harry Potter. He exposed my bra and ran his fingers along the edge of the fabric,
wow,
him brushing my nipples. He removed the bra and dropped it to the floor.
How much is he going to be able to read?
I grabbed my right hand and put it on his hand. He put it to my left breast. I thought I was going to explode with ecstasy. Andy told me to relax and enjoy the moment. We didn't have to rush into anything. He said, "I love you, Harry Potter." I said, "I love you, Andy." As we continued to share deep, long, passionate kisses, he slid his hand under my skirt. I was wearing a plaid skirt from a local school. By now, the couch was settled.
Oh, dear.
I'm sure that's all that we're going to have today.
When he reached the outer edges of my... I shook like a bowl of jello. Then his fingers slid under my panties. We're getting to the part I can't read.
Right,
I shook violently.
Thank you, Harry.
And immediately I...
Okay, thanks, Harry.
And he removed his fingers. Goodbye.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz?
That wasn't really Harry Potter.
No, that was
Harry Potter. It was Harry Morgan who played Colonel Potter, huh? Mad. Yeah, you see, it wasn't really...
No, it wasn't really from Harry Potter, no.
He was reading from Penthouse, I think.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
I'll try.
He made it up.
You know, I believe we may have found something.
Yeah, I like that.
I think you can call
that. Do that again tomorrow.
Yes, absolutely.
Buzz.
Yes.
What is the lead story today?
Well, I had semi-clever headline about the underground rescue of the stock market, but then this just came in over the wire, and since we're all traveling partners, I thought you'd want to hear it from me first.
Oh, there must be some bad news.
There's been an Amtrak derailment in Wheaton, Maryland, just outside of Washington, D.C., that no doubt is going to affect Amtrak traffic this afternoon. There are apparently at least 6 cars off the track there.
Well,
would you like to know? Yes, Wheaton, Maryland.
Wheaton, north of Washington.
Right.
Be fine. You're trying desperately to throw cold water on the fact that we are taking the train.
Well, we'll get there.
To Philadelphia today.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah.
The password is limo time.
We'll be right back.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned
for news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Buzz?
Yes.
Shut the F up.
Okay.
Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe. Official spokesman of the stupid,
howdy,
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Right. Let's go right to the fearmonger. Hi, Bud.
Hi, Don and Mike. The train was on its way from Chicago to Washington, they believe, when it derailed in Kensington, Maryland, just outside of Washington, D.C.
Yeah, on another line where we're going, Buzz.
Right.
It's not going to affect our service.
That has become obvious now that we know that it's the Chicago line.
Yes, I'm sorry to...
I know that disappoints you.
Disappoint you.
The whole jump to conclusions.
Here's the queer duality of Buzz.
Right. He was filled with great joy to tell us.
Buzz loves bringing us
bad news.
Bad news.
The worse, the better.
Even if the bad news personally affects him.
Yeah.
Because he's coming with us.
Right.
He's going to be on the train. If there was a problem with Amtrak today,
he's screwed too.
He would be as inconvenienced the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, he gets a nice boner going.
Loves it with the bad news.
Buzz gets aroused.
Yes.
If he's able to give us news that he knows will make us unhappy.
And although, the news is good and we won't be affected, our travel plans, and although he will benefit from that, he is just a little disappointed that, that it wasn't the line that we were going to be
in. Even though he would have been a casualty of friendly fire himself.
Right. Sitting in a hot, sweaty train station.
Cooling my heels. I grew up in Tornado Alley, and I remember even ever since I was a little kid getting excited when something ominous was about to happen. I can't explain it.
You're not alone being a newsman.
Yeah, apparently not. Anyway, enough about that. It's happened again. An airline pilot's been grounded with pay pending the outcome of a blood test for alcohol. The Atlantic Southeast Airlines pilot was prevented from boarding a flight yesterday morning. The plane was headed to Atlanta from Wilmington, North Carolina, with 28 passengers on board. ASA is a regional carrier for Delta.
You're saving the pilot. You told
good.
Me. You think this man is drunk?
I'm not idiots, gentlemen.
Loaded.
He's fine.
No, he's bombed.
I'm not idiots, gentlemen.
I'm not idiots, gentlemen.
I'm not idiots, gentlemen.
The FAA will only say that it's investigating, quote, an alleged violation of an alcohol-related regulation regarding the flight.
Man, it happened all over the place, the time.
Because you played that safe.
You didn't mean to do that.
No,
That was a naturally occurring phenomenon.
It's the tape.
I'm not idiots, gentlemen.
I'm not talking anymore.
Is the 10-week Wall Street slide over? The Dow's been up by like 345 points today on top of Friday's gains. Experts say investors who've worried about profits and corporate scandals are ready to start buying again. Some of the folks rescued from that Pennsylvania mine over the weekend have met with reporters today. Six of the miners are already out of the hospital. Two others go home today, and the ninth will remain in the hospital for another day or two.
Man, I tell you,
what a story.
I just loved it. I love that story.
Yeah.
Everything about it. Coming home in the wee hours of the morning on Saturday and reading that on the internet, and just, I mean, I sit there all by myself in my office, and I put both hands up in the air.
Because
anybody that was following that, so often in those mining disasters, nothing ever happens. No survivors.
Not as good as a little girl in a well, though.
Not as good as a little girl in a well, but pretty, because there were nine of the guys down there, and you heard the drill bit broke, and you were like, the guys were toast, they never had a chance.
Right.
Pretty awesome that they got those guys out. I was psyched.
Doctors say being trapped for more than 3 days underground will no doubt leave some of the miners in need of counseling, but the ones we saw on television today looked very, very happy to be out in the sunshine.
Don and I was watching the rescue, and one of the things I was thinking was that you or I or several of the people that Rob included, they wouldn't have gotten us out. Did you see what they were bringing those guys up
there? Yeah, it was a very skinny tube.
Yeah, so, well, we're all safe. We've got six of us, but Rob, Don, and Mike are all down there, and they won't be coming back. We're down here playing cards, dead in the 50 million gallons of water.
It was the hysterical laughing of some of the men who worked for the airline that upset Renee so much. It was the laughing and having to hold up her vibrator for everyone to see at the airport in Dallas. Renee's sex toy was vibrating in her luggage, and security made her open it and hold up the vibrator out in the open after calling her name on the PA system.
Her dildo.
Will the whore please report to the gate? The vicious sea-sucking whore please report to the gate.
She says the humiliation is part of the reason she's suing Delta.
I'm not idiots, gentlemen.
Delta says it was, as always, concerned for the security of its passengers. Renee is suing for, among other things, gender discrimination.
Huh? Like if a guy didn't have a dildo, they wouldn't have held it up?
That's her belief, apparently.
Well, there's a lesson for all the ladies in our audience. If you're going to travel with your friend, take his batteries out.
Remove the batteries.
And hold on there, Buzz. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
With a zero-tolerance policy for everything, the Don and Mike Show.
See, it all comes full circle.
Yes. Todd Rundgren.
What we were talking about at the beginning of the show.
Not a gay.
Gotcha. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. In sports, Philadelphia forward Derek Coleman was arrested over the weekend for refusing a breath test. Police stopped the 76ers player after allegedly clocking him at about 100 miles an hour.
No, it wasn't a breath test. Like, boy, your breath stinks.
No, that's horrible. Here, take a mint.
Not that kind of breath.
Are there times when you have to have fresh breath?
That'd be Eliza.
That happened just outside of Detroit. And finally, a lot's happened since we last talked about Anthony Williams running for re-election as mayor of Washington, D.C. First, the elections board removed his name from the Democratic primary ballot because he didn't have enough real signatures on his petition. Many of the names were forged. Since the ruling, the mayor says he's re-energized and may launch a write-in campaign.
As you're talking to John Stevens.
The good news for D.C. voters is they can now choose from among the candidates who did have enough valid names on their petitions. That would include an exotic ballet dancer named Faith, who likes to campaign on horseback while playing a bugle. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
No!
Yes, 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 yes. Live in Philly, WYSP. Get down there early, come down, play Match Game 2002 with us. We have other stuff playing for Philadelphia in studio the rest of the week. And please, ladies and gentlemen, go to see Austin Powers tonight because we can contain ourselves no longer. Once Mike and Buzz and Rob and Lisa go to see it, we're talking about it tomorrow.
Yeah, so see you tonight. Or turn your radio down tomorrow.
Tonight. I wonder if you're seeing Austin Powers tonight.
I'm looking forward to it just about as much as I've looked forward to a movie in a long time.
Tonight. Okay, well, see you tomorrow with WYSP. Good day to you, sir.
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 Hey.
Brain wreck.
Can you?
Could you?
Yeah.
So we meet again. Sammy Davis here just saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. So let me leave you swinging.